Coming up next, it's This Week in Tech with Ben Parr, Robert Scoble, Brian Alvey, and myself, Jason Calacanis, where we will talk about Facebook, Tesla, self-driving cars, Twitter being sold to Google or somebody else, and Snapchat's Snap Glasses. Also, we'll see pictures of Robert Scoble in the shower. Stick with us.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is This Week in Tech, episode number 581, recorded September 25th, 2016. You can pay to see it all.
This Week in Tech is brought to you by Automattic, the small adapter that turns your clunker into a smarter, connected car. For more information on their brand new Automattic Pro adapter, visit automattic.com/twit and enter the limited time offer code TWIT for $20 off their newest device. And by Eero. Why settle for just a Wi-Fi router when you could have a brilliant, hyper-fast, super simple Wi-Fi system? No more buffering, no more dead zones. Finally, Wi-Fi that works. For free overnight shipping, visit Eero.com, and at checkout, select overnight shipping and enter the code TWIT. And by GoToMeeting. Why just phone conference when you can go high-tech? Better meetings start with GoToMeeting. HD video means you'll never miss a thing. Screen sharing keeps everyone on task. Don't phone it in. GoToMeeting. Start your free 30-day trial at GoToMeeting.com. And by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give new life to a used device. Visit Gazelle.com today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of This Week in Tech. I'm not Leo Laporte. I'm Jason Calacanis, sitting in for Leo, who is taking a well-deserved vacation. With me this week, legends of tech, including Robert Scoble, back on This Week in Tech. Welcome back to the program.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here.
You have been traveling around the world.
Yeah.
Stops in?
In the last 3 weeks, I've been to China, Brazil, Denmark. And by the way, I go home in between these places.
Oh, my God.
And Canada and Germany.
Wow.
In the last 3 weeks.
And you've seen a lot of VR stuff, and you've got a lot of information about what's going down at Google and Apple. We'll be getting to that in a minute. Ben Parr is with us. You've been on the program many times. The audience knows you.
Hi, everyone. I'm glad to be back.
And my partner with Weblogs, Inc., the co-founder of Engadget, and now doing Clipisode. You're doing a secret project. I'm an angel investor in it. Mm-hmm. Clipisodes? How do you get to that? Clipisodes.com?
Clipisode. Clipisode.co.
Clipisode.co.
Google Clipisode. We
Clipisode.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what it is yet. Or is there a little information on the website?
There's actually a video.
Oh, okay, great.
From a little launch conference.
So you guys can check that out, a little plug there. And Brian, of course, was the co-founder of Engadget. It's been a huge week in the news, and we're going to get right to it. Apple, of course, has been leading things off. And the iPhone 7, I got one. Robert, you've got yours.
I got it still in the box because I haven't even set it up
yet. Unboxing.
It's basically the life of Robert Scoble. People just send you everything.
No,
the stuff you get.
I paid for that.
Apple, I know. Listen.
I didn't
all
pay for the other three.
Okay, that's my point.
Which tells you something about Apple PR. They're like, Scoble, we don't want you using our product.
They definitely. Do you think Walt Mossberg got free product? Does anybody get free product from Apple?
No.
Yeah, there's a few that get review units.
And, but they have to send it back.
You know, there's the ones that do send it back like Walt does, right? And there's Recode have rules against keeping review product. And then there's people who keep theirs. But, yeah, there's only a few.
But you just basically get everything. Everybody sends you everything because if you review
I stand in line and buy it.
For the
I was
Apple
the first.
Stuff, but for everything else, you get it all for free.
I don't
Let's
get it
honest.
For free.
When's the last time you bought an Android phone?
I didn't, why?
Exactly.
So many.
I mean, Huawei brought me to China to meet with their executive team, and I've been playing with their phones. And they're behind Apple. But,
so let's get right to it. let's talk first about the car project. Obviously, people were reading about Project Titan for the past couple of years. Actually, they hit somewhere around 1,000 employees, it was reported. And then this week, Apple eyeing luxury car maker McLaren. If you don't know McLaren, it's a couple of thousand people. I think they make about 500 million pounds a year, and they make, of course, $300,000 and $1.5 million sports cars. But they also do carbon fiber and a bunch of other materials. Apple obviously has said nothing. McLaren has denied it, which is obviously proof that it's obviously well underway, and they want a higher price. What does this mean in terms of the Apple car?
My best friend is one of the 12 guys who built the iPhone, and his brother still works at Apple. And this is when you get Apple people together, this is what we argue about incessantly. Are they building a car? Are they doing something else? But think about what a car, let's go 10 years, 15 years in the future. First of all, we're not going to buy a car 15 years out. You're going to get
no car ownership. You'll be just time sharing.
Unless you just want an antique or a race car or something like that, a car to just be, if you're a rich person, sure. Normal people are going to get their car delivered off of Uber. Because if you have a self-driving car, it's going to be way cheaper than owning your own car and better. And it's always going to be up to date, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But think about, I like to think about Elon Musk. I gave him $1,000 of my money to buy the Tesla 3, right? So did 400,000 other people.
The largest Kickstarter in history, if you think about it, if the cars wind up being $45,000 each, you're talking about close to $20 billion
now,
in Kickstarter.
What do we really want in a car? I've seen the F-35 fighter jet. It costs $1 billion. And I've talked to the pilots about it. And they said, we'll never lose to an F-16. Partly because I can see you and you can't see me.
Right.
They are wearing augmented reality glasses as a pilot. And I want the same thing in my car. I don't want to see the sides of the car. And BMW and OGG already demonstrated this. Put cameras along the ridge of the car and let me see through the car.
So if you put, and I've seen this video, it's on the internet 10 years ago, somebody had done it in China as a proof of concept. They put cameras in the front of a car. Sort of like underneath the engine to see the road. Then they put screens where the floorboards were. And so when you look down, you have this incredible vertigo that, oh my God, my feet are about to hit the ground and rip off. But you could see through it. So you're saying the ability to see with
that,
goggles everything around you.
Now I think about what Elon is doing. He's putting sensors in the car that help it that enable self-driving, right? Front-facing radar, for instance, dual cameras that do depth maps and all sorts of stuff. Why can't I see that data visualized in my glasses so that I can see through fog? I can see
all this though becomes
threats to me and the car coming, right? Even if I'm manually driving,
Brian, this all becomes moot when you have self-driving. Though you're just,
I think what he's describing is like Daredevil for race cars.
Right? Yeah.
Like, you can see through. I mean, because if you think of the sensors that they're putting on these things, even the was it Pittsburgh? They had those tests, and half of the stuff isn't really visual. It's this radar stuff to see what's coming and to sense all these threats. So it doesn't matter what the weather is. It doesn't matter if it's nighttime. It's just pretty amazing.
Yeah. I want to bring that back to the part of where we're talking about Apple and why they're even thinking about this. It feels like Apple's been rebooting the car project in multiple different ways. So this is part of the Apple process, but never usually so publicly. The idea that acquisitions would leak would not have happened 5 years ago.
Or mass firings.
Firings. And now it happens. And the style of acquisitions has certainly changed. Like when I was editor of Mashable, I think I wrote about two acquisitions. None of them were more than $30 million. And now you're talking about multi-billion dollar acquisitions.
The McLaren acquisition would be
a
couple of billion, two, three,
would be
four
the
billion,
biggest,
it looks like. Would be the biggest. The first one obviously being Beats. But this, I think, shows if they do buy this, that they might be willing to be a house of brands as opposed to the branded house, in that Apple would never let somebody else make something that had that has to be made here. But with Steve gone, maybe Tim Cook's like, we could do what Facebook did, which is have Instagram, WhatsApp, and Facebook, or Google has YouTube.
Here's where I think Tim is going. He knows mixed reality glasses are coming. There's 9 companies working on them, including Magic Leap, which got $1.3 billion without having a customer or a product. Microsoft has HoloLens cooking, and it's an amazing product, even though it's too big and too expensive for normal people. But we know this is coming sometime in our future. Is it two
mixed
years,
reality,
4 years?
Augmented reality, not
you're
virtual?
You're going to see stuff on the table walking around with these glasses, right? And Apple hired many, many people in this industry, including buying the company that invented it called PrimeSense. They made they make a 3D sensor. Google's bringing out a competitor to this in a month or in a few days on October 4th, the Tango sensor. And that's going to enable all sorts of new things on our face to sense the world and put interface objects on top of the world. It's a really deep shift in terms of user interface. And every time there is a deep shift in user interface, we call them paradigm shifts or something like that. My book calls them transformations. Big companies go away. When we went from DOS to Windows, Borland and WordPerfect went away. When we went from Windows to touch on the phone,
BlackBerry
and Nokia went away.
Yep.
Huge
people lose
companies.
Big. Big, who loses big when these glasses come out? And who's going to win augmented mixed reality? If you had to pick one company, two companies.
This is the big question.
Yeah.
Tim Cook knows what's coming. He's bought 13 or 15 companies to make these.
So they're going to – why is
– if he messes up – in other words, he has the recipe on the table.
So if he messes up augmented reality, it could be Apple that goes away.
No, not Apple. Because I think they have so much money, they're not going away.
It would take a long time.
It would take a couple misses.
Yeah.
Tim Cook's gone.
Oh, Tim Cook's gone if he misses.
Tim Cook's... And here's how I think Tim is going to announce the iPhone 8 next year. September 2017. You're going to go... We're going to be sitting there, all three of us or all four of us. And the lights are going to go down. The music's going to go down. And there's going to be three quotes in white up on the projection screens. Somebody like Walt Mossberg saying Apple's innovation.
Done it again.
Apple's innovation is dead.
Right.
Right. And New York Times says Apple's boring again. And USA Today says something else. There's lots of quotes. I've said some of these quotes, right?
Yeah.
Fred Wilson, who's the co-founder of Wired. Not Fred Wilson, Fred Davis.
Yeah.
Says that he's tired of Apple, right? There's plenty of people who are saying this. So imagine those three quotes go up. And then Tim Cook walks out and says, there are many in this community who think I haven't been doing my job for the last 5 years.
Right.
There's many in this community who think I lost Steve Jobs' playbook, even though he personally handed it to me.
Right.
And in his mind, he's going to say, or to you, he's going to say, in the next 60 minutes, you're going to see more innovation from Apple than it has ever delivered in the past 40 years, which is coming.
You think so?
I'm not sure if it's next year or the next year after that. There is so much new stuff coming.
Right.
That he could
pulls
out the iPhone 8, right?
Yeah.
And the iPhone 8 already has an edge-to-edge screen, which has 30% more pixels. He'll say, why do you need that virtual reality?
Yes.
Then he'll turn the phone over and he goes, you know this company, Microsoft, they have this product called HoloLens? That came from the Xbox team, the Kinect sensor. Where did the Kinect sensor come from?
Yeah.
PrimeSense.
Right.
I bought the company that invented this new thing.
Boom. And here it is.
It's in the phone, right? A 3D sensor. Tango is shipping this in October, right?
Right.
So over and over and over, he's going to bring out new things. Artificial intelligence, augmented reality, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And it's going to be these glasses. So what is Elon Musk going to do with glasses? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. So what do you...
Because they're going to ship about the same time as I get my Model 3.
Ben, what do you think? Is Apple so far behind now that they won't be able to catch up in augmented reality, virtual reality? Right now, just so people can recap, you have Oculus, Magic Leap, Sony, HTC, Google, Microsoft, all with major products in market.
They're not...
Magic Leap's not in market.
That same happened with tablets way back then.
Apple, I guess so.
You know?
Yeah. Apple is not behind for how Apple does it.
Right.
And I make this very strong argument of how Apple's process is never to be first.
Right.
They will wait a couple of years. That's fine. Yep. Let the market develop. Honestly, the VR market is still not that big yet. Yep. It's still not super accessible. You're only starting to see...
Too expensive.
Too expensive.
Too nerdy.
Especially the high-end stuff, you have to buy a computer and you have to
and
do
that's
all
what
the
you
setup.
Want. No. You want room scale. You want 6 degrees of freedom. There's four problems with mobile-based VR. 6 degrees of freedom is one. when you go, when you get a Vive, an HTC Vive, like I have, you have one in your house yet?
I don't have it in my house. We have it in the office.
I have one.
You have one in your.
You have the
we
HTC
can
Vive
play.
Too.
We can play frisbee with each other, right? Right? Over the internet, we can throw basketballs together. We can shoot each other. We can do archery together. Infinite things we can do. Ski jumping's coming in December. Blah blah blah. That's what you want. You want the ability to play with other people over the internet, using your hands, using your face, using your body. You can't do that with mobile.
No.
And it's coming.
Yeah.
And when it does come, it's going to be cheap because the you already have a supercomputer in your...
Yeah, I mean...
And Apple realizes this, and they understand that, and they're building for that, that they don't need to be first to market. They just need to be best at market, you know? It didn't matter that people put out 15 different kinds of tablets
before. The counterpoint would be the Apple Watch has been completely underwhelming. Is anybody here wearing one?
Nope.
Does anyone here has anyone here bought one?
Yeah,
I bought one. You bought one.
Never bought one.
So two out of four of us bought it. We don't wear it. The new one, marginally better, but still not as good as my Fitbit or equal. That's a lackluster product launch. And the iPhone 7, I've been playing with it for a couple of days. The camera seems noticeably better, but not incredibly. The screen seems maybe perhaps noticeably better, but not incredible. And I have to say, taking the phone jack out, I didn't think that this would be a big deal. I've now had like two or three instances in a weekend that make it absolutely infuriating. Number one, I was driving and I was going to make a phone call. I like to use my headset because it's better fidelity. And I was charging and had a low battery charge. I had to choose between power and this. Mm. Then somebody had a stereo system at the house I was staying at this weekend and they wanted me to plug in to the jack. I didn't have it. And then I have to go find the dongle. What a horrible idea. And the horrible idea about this removing the phone jack is
I've heard this
they could
times.
Have made the dongle have a pass-through power. Why does the dongle not have pass-through power? Just like when you get your MacBook, they have this new USB-C, you lose the mag connector. Again, it's like how many different concurrent plugs is Apple going to support?
Steve Jobs has done this several times to us in his history.
I know, it's so courageous.
He took away the floppy drive, and people had the same arguments, the same exact arguments. What am I going to do without a floppy drive? I can't even load software.
So you don't buy it.
There's a revolution in audio coming. Doppler Labs is one of the companies that's bringing this. They handed me headphones at Coachella. They're $200 headphones. They have a microphone processing and a speaker, and they block the real audio from coming to your. And keep in mind, you're at Coachella. $2 million worth of audio gear aimed at your head.
And you're going to put earpieces in, and you're going to listen to it through those.
It sounds better.
Sounds better. So
then
they're basically
$2 million of audio.
I know what you're talking about. I tried those at Coachella.
They're going to simulcast
process,
to you.
No, no. Well, it listens to the audio and processes it and lets you turn it down.
Well,
it's not
that you turn that down, but you can pick which kind of audio you turn up or down. You can turn up just voice. You can turn up just treble. Yeah. There's all sorts of things that can do, and I understand that. I still think it's not quite the right decision the way they did it.
In
I understand.
Five can words, those, you're not going to care.
Can those earpieces make Dylan can you hear understand the lyrics again or no? Can you recognize the songs if you have Dylan on? Thank you to the
they're
old
coming,
guys.
They're coming with all sorts earpieces. Of magical things. Once you cut that cord, and I think this is where Apple's going. Once you cut the cord, you can have a translator. If you're speaking Chinese,
translate. That makes total sense for me.
Right? Yeah. You can do this kind of audio processing, get rid of noise. The noise canceling on Doppler Labs is way better than a Bose headphone, right? There's a revolution coming in audio, and nobody has seen it because you have to have one of these in your head.
Let's go back
really
to should we cut to a break? You think we should do a quick commercial here?
All
right, hold on a second. Hold that thought. When we get back, Apple is looking at a company called Lit Motors. It's up on my iPad screen here. Lit Motors makes essentially a motorcycle in a metal cage that has a gyroscope in it.
I remember.
We had this at the launch festival a couple times. It does not fall over. You can't make it fall over. And if you skid or you flip it, you're going to be wearing a three-point harness. Will Apple buy this company? And Snapchat has come out with their own glasses finally. And Google has their big announcement. And the person running Oculus, the co-founder, is a secret troll on Reddit, maybe. And Robert wants him fired when we get back on This Week in Tech.
All right, we're going to have more with Twit and the gang. I'm going to give the big brains a time to cool and rest. Smoke them if you got them, kids. Well, I talk a little bit about Automatic, our great sponsor. They've been a really good sponsor of all of our shows, but also, I think, a really great product. I've loved it. It's for the OBD2 port. What? That's the onboard diagnostics port on every vehicle made since 1996. You've got one. You do. It's right. Look, you may never have seen it. It's under your steering wheel, you know, down there by where your knees are. And if you did see it by any chance, you probably just assumed, well, it's a port for the technician at the dealership to check the car. And that's true. That's its intent. But it's an open port. And it's an open standard. And automatic makes a really cool dongle. Just plugs right into the port, gets its power from the port without draining your battery. Has Bluetooth, so it pairs with your phone, Android or iOS. And then you get all this information from your car. Makes your car smart. Like what that light on the dashboard means. In fact, it's a great thing if you've got teens to put in there, because there's all sorts of features like geofencing, and you can even, on Android phones, turn off texting automatically with the automatic. There's a lot of really nice stuff once you get that automatic on your OBD port and your automatic software. Now, the nice thing is there's no subscription. There's no monthly fee. And the new automatic has added 3G. This is the Automatic Pro. It has 3G. I don't know. That's kind of amazing. In the automatic, and still no subscription fee. Free. 3G. So you, for instance, you don't have to even have your phone with you. This is why it's great for teenagers. You can see where the car is. You can see where it's parked, even if you're not in the car. And it's really, really cool. It will. They integrate with everything like Concur and Expensify if you track business versus pleasure mileage. It works with your Nest thermostat. So like you're coming home and your house, you know, the heater comes on or the AC comes on. You can ask your Amazon Echo where you parked your car. There's a skill for the automatic. Where did I park my car? Or how much gas is in the tank? That's a really good one. I use that one a lot. And this is great. Automatic Pro detects severe accidents and will get you human help. Will actually call for help even if you can't. Trained responders will call for help. That is a real peace of mind if you're a parent or for anybody. Automatic works on nearly every car made after 96. It just takes minutes to connect. Minutes, seconds. You just push it in. The hardest thing is figuring out where is my port. And then, oh yeah. And then you pair it with your phone and boom. By the way, it also works with the Apple Watch and the Pebble. So you can, this thing is so slick. It basically makes it a smart car, no matter what kind of car it is. Automatic Pro. Now, normally it's $129.95. Remember, there's no monthly fee, no subscription. The 3G is free. But we have an offer code that'll save you $20. Use the offer code TWIT. Go to automatic.com/TWIT. Automatic spelled the way it is in the dictionary. Automatic.com/TWIT. And don't forget, when you decide to buy, use the offer code TWIT. $20 off the regular purchase price. Automatic.com/TWIT. We thank them for their support. Now back to the show.
Okay. Thank you, Leo and Automatic, for supporting independent media. Like This Week in Tech. Leo's voice is pretty great. He's a great radio guy. Thanks for letting us host and trash the studio. Oh, forget about that last part. We're not going to trash the studio. Oops. Taking a quick detour, a person named Palmer Freeman Luckey is the co-founder of Oculus. Oculus makes VR, speaking of VR. And we don't want to drift too much into politics, but he is the co-founder of Oculus, as I said, which is obviously a Facebook company. Facebook paid $2 billion for the company. And he has apologized for giving money to a company called Nimble America. He gave 10 dimes to it, $10,000. And he is claiming that it wasn't him on Reddit trolling about Trump and doing a bunch of other stuff. He says, I am a libertarian who has publicly supported Ron Paul and Gary Johnson in the past. I plan to vote on Gary. I'm committed to the principles of fair play and equal treatment. I did not write the Nimble Rich Man post, nor did I delete the account. Reports that I'm the founder and employees of Nimble America are false. I don't have plans to donate beyond what I've already given to Nimble America. Still, my actions are my own, and I do not resent Oculus. I'm sorry for the impact my actions are having in the community. This has created some kind of massive brouhaha. Brian, what's going on here?
That's a great question. So the funny thing is people are like, I own a Vive. Like, it's not, I'm not in this.
Yes.
And, you know, because like buying an Oculus Rift somehow makes you a Trump supporter, and that's
right.
Bad. So he's kind of in trouble for having a political opinion in one sense, but he's also in trouble for helping people go nuts on people, right? That's right. The bad part, the bullying, right? So sponsoring right. The bullying. And his apology isn't a, it's not an apology. So don't say it's an apology. It's more like it's his explanation. And he doesn't specifically, he apologizes for the fact that the company is now having problems with the community. I'm very sorry that this is happening. And he's not really sorry he did anything. No. And then what he also said was, that wasn't me, but the journalist who uncovered it all said, well, what he's doing is he's kind of parsing this in a crazy, crazy way, which is somebody else set up the account. I stepped in and wrote the stuff, sent the money, and then I got out again. So it's not really my account, but I'm the only person who ever posted under that name, right? See? So it's not I didn't do it. It's not my account. Oh, whose account is it? Somebody set it up for me to go in and type all the stuff.
Got it.
And then you type the
now
stuff and
wrote
a check.
Now I know how to deflect this stuff in the future if I want to create trolling accounts.
Right.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing because what this Nimble group did was basically post like a lot of the abhorrent Hillary Clinton misogynistic crazy memes. It's kind of like a Reddit trolling kind of thing. Not that Reddit is only one thing. Just to be clear, I think Reddit gets an unfair kind of reputation that it's all trolls. Reddit is like 99% probably not trolls, but the 1% of trolls are so vocal and so insane, it does kind of paint them. They're free reign.
Right.
But trolling seems to be this high art form that it's being lampooned. And I don't know if anybody's watching the South Park season 20, but it's essentially literally, if you haven't watched season 19 or 20, it's literally about Twitter and trolling. Robert, you wrote that Palmer, Lucky, that Zuck should fire him. Zuck follows you. Yeah. Zuck likes your posts now and again. Not this one. You know Zuck personally. You've known him since the beginning.
Yeah.
It's inevitable that he will read your post. Why do you feel that Palmer should be fired? Palmer Lucky.
And I got to split up my ego into two places. One is the politics, which I find abhorrent. But let's put those aside. I've gone around the world many times in this year, and I've met with many, many VR developers, and most of the coolest VR developers are developing only for the Vive,
right?
Because it has room scale, and because it's out with controllers today. I don't have Oculus controllers, and I'm in the middle of the VR industry, so they haven't shipped yet.
Right.
So this guy hasn't done his job. He's losing to a competitor that should not be losing to.
Mm.
And he's not positioned well for augmented reality. He's not positioned well for this coming fight, which is a multi-billion dollar fight. I mean, NVIDIA and Qualcomm and Intel alone are spending billions of dollars in the GPU at the base level. That gives you a sense of how much importance this industry is putting on this stuff. And this other thing just was the fuel, was the fire that lit the fuel for me. That this guy's not doing his job, and Facebook is not positioned well in VR, and that they're not taking their jobs.
So it's one thing if you're winning and you're trolling in your spare time. It's another thing if you're losing.
We would still have a problem even if he was winning.
Yes.
But I would have a harder time calling for his firing, right?
Would you compare that to Nest? Where the problems with the team morale and stuff like that kind of lead to them looking at it more closely and saying, actually, you haven't shipped anything in a while, and you're doing a bad job, and now you're out. So
Tony Fadell was fired, right?
So, one, he's not – like, Palmer has not really been the person running –
No, but like, he's the visual face, and he made promises over and over to the community that he can't keep. I agree with you.
On for doing, like, you're taking aside even the politics of the whole thing, which alone should probably be fired for. The, like, performance, you're saying, like, it needs new leadership. I can't disagree with that either. Like, so much more press, so much more hype, so much more interest in the Vive, and it's just a stronger product at the moment. Like, the entire Lucky thing is just, as well as abhorrent. Like, regardless of which side, like, spending your money to troll and to harass people is just not okay in general.
Certainly not. I mean, we have to be able to separate also here that it's one thing to have political beliefs. So we all have friends who want to vote for one side or the other.
I don't believe anybody should be fired for their political beliefs.
Yes, half the country would be fired tomorrow.
We'd have to fire half the country tomorrow. It makes no sense. Even if you and it's a very divisive time right now. I mean, I've never seen it, and we've never seen this in our lifetime.
It's the deepest choice we have to make as Americans that we've ever had to make.
Very divisive. We can get into that on This Week in Politics another time.
Yeah.
But there is something qualitatively different about a political opinion and active trolling. I think we all realize active trolling is – I know it's funny for 12-year-old boys or 50-year-old men who want to be like 12-year-old boys, but it's actually hurtful. It's kind of childish, and it's not something a senior executive at a company should be doing unless they're putting their name on it and like, I'm going to troll you by telling you your product sucks, like the guy from T-Mobile does of AT&T or whatever, Verizon, says you charge too much. Like there's something about this, you know – and then it came up with Peter Thiel as well. If you do anonymous bad behavior or anonymous borderline behavior, it becomes 10 times worse. It's almost like the anonymity of it makes it.
But people have brought that up. Why was he hiding it?
Yeah.
Why didn't he just do it under his own name instead of, you know, anonymous rich guy 32, right?
Yeah. It's just weird. We're seeing a lot of weird things happen because of this election and with the companies because Facebook has gone out of their way. What's particularly maybe not problematic about this, actually, now that I think about it, maybe it's this actually helps. Balances it out. Yeah. But Facebook had their thumb on the scale when it came to liberal stuff. The people who were doing the trending topics were very clearly trending liberal. And Zuck went out of his way to have Glenn Beck and a bunch of conservatives. So actually, maybe this helps Facebook. Maybe this whole thing was done intentionally.
I
hate to be a cynic,
There is the other thing of like, what's the actual long term damage? And it's probably not that much. The longer term is like, can Oculus regain the position as number one?
Yeah, but he was the public face of this team. He was on stage at conferences, featured him many times, interviewed him many times, right? And we're probably going to interview him for our new show that we're going to do on VR that Jason and I are starting a podcast next month. But he can't be anymore because he's so divisive in terms of the politics. Half of the people are going to go against him. That's not good for a company.
It is really
He's losing. He's losing, and somebody needs to say that.
But we're in the middle of the.
It's not just politics either. Keep in mind the reason the community is against him and flipped so violently, including the Noni De La Pena, who was in the room with him when he was inventing it. She came out very strongly that he really went over the line with her with this. Again. There was a precondition that was happening already. He made promises to the VR community that Oculus was going to be an open system. He had to take those words back. And he did several things like this in the public eye that set the
fuel. So now his character is being just sort of dismantled. And it's very hard when you're the evangelist to have these things. That's why you don't see Zuck or other people. And if you look, Jack, at Twitter, to segue, and obviously this week we saw that Twitter is obviously for sale. They're trying to sell it because they can't fix it, so they think it could be part of something else. Jack has been known for being on the other side,
right?
Being, you know, Black Lives Matter, very liberal.
Now, A7 just said, so you have to be a Democrat to sell VR. That's not true. That's not what we're saying. And you do have to have credibility with the community you serve if you're going to be a leader in a company. If you lose that credibility for any reason, a scandal or something, you're going to get removed, right? CEOs get fired all the time for something.
Yeah, I mean, amongst the CEO crowd, there are a ton of people who I've spoken to and said, hey, what's your position? And they say, my position is X. Don't ever tell people my position. My position is, you know, I hope that you vote this year. The intelligent people are just taking the position, as one intelligent person told me, just tell people to vote because 75% of people who are not voters, if they vote, vote for Hillary Clinton. So that's why you're seeing the Democrats really pushing hard for more people to vote, Republicans pushing very hard for less people to vote and making it harder to vote because it just happens to be in this election, the people who are not registered will lean that way. Brian, when we look at all of this and Google, you have Twitter now is sort of too far to left. What do you think happens with Twitter? Is it Google who will buy it?
I've thought about this all week long, because they're...
And could anybody conceivably fix it? That's the other sort of situation. Because Jack's been half-time.
Yeah.
Jack's a pretty bright guy, obviously, but he's half-time. The product has not gotten demonstrably better.
No. So they haven't
fixed. And he's made a lot of weird decisions, right. Like banning Milo and getting very involved in policing speech. Seems like a really weird decision. Like, you don't see Zuck coming down to that level ever.
Right.
And, like, picking what's in trending topics or taking stuff out. Like, Jack's getting a little too emotionally involved in the words.
It hasn't helped, right?
It does not help, of course.
So he shows up, you know, with a hashtag T-shirt on at a riot.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. That's fantastic. Go, you know, have an opinion. But it hasn't helped the product and the company at all. Right. I don't know who buys it. So I've looked around at, you know, media companies and other tech companies. And where does it fit in? And, you know, it's a phenomenon. It's a necessity to have this place for the free speech and the ability to reach out to a celebrity and get something back.
It's not growing, but it won't go. It won't.
But what is it good for? What does it add? Like, what people say? Oh, Apple will buy it. Yeah. No, they're not. You know, like, what does it add to Apple to buy Twitter? Look at any other Salesforce. I think they're about the same size.
You disagree, Ben? Who should buy it?
So the one thing, it's not just the service, it's the data source. Data source is extraordinarily valuable to companies like Microsoft, to Salesforce, to Google, to Facebook.
Okay, wait. We understand why it's interesting to Microsoft and Google, because they both have search engines, Bing and Google Search, because that data isn't been indexed, right? It's being put out for the first time. Why is it important to Salesforce? That I don't get. Why is Salesforce so interesting? I know Benioff loves Twitter. He's on Twitter all day long. Does anybody heard why it would be important to Salesforce? Sales leads?
I think that they're thinking about expanding their business is part of his thinking. And this opens
into
up...
Into what?
Consumer.
Ah. Salesforce as consumer.
And they also the social feeds feed a lot into their data engine, into the Einstein project, and into AI, and into a lot of the things they're doing. So I get it. Like, the purchase doesn't make sense in the sense that they don't have the money to buy it.
Right.
Yeah. Like I mean, then again, they tried to get LinkedIn, so, you know, that's not a – lack of money is not going to stop Benioff. Right. But it makes sense that they partner with the right company. Mm.
Who's the top company? It seems like Google. It makes the most sense. Because Google has no horse.
Google's not done it. But if Google hasn't done it at this point, with multiple rumors and multiple times that they've had that discussion, why now?
Because I think capitulation. I think they got Jack back in there. He gave it his all. Or I should say he gave it half of his all.
Hmm.
And it has.
He gave it half.
He gave it half. Right. And it has not even gotten marginally better. The product is not even marginally better. Let's call it it is.
Every time they come up with a new feature, people kind of respond. They go, oh, that's great. No longer counting like the first at mention. Can you fix trolling? Can I edit my tweet? Like, they list all the major stuff. And Twitter doesn't fix the major stuff.
It just doesn't feel like there's any clear vision.
Right. I think if Twitter was a European company, somebody would have bought it with their offshore cash already. Right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, you get a third discount. You get a 35% discount on the price.
Right.
So.
Right.
And now imagine there's this talk of a $30 billion price, which makes no sense to me.
No. Yeah, a premium on top of failing.
Yeah, I don't think failing companies get a premium. Robert, who's the most likely buyer? If you had to place a bet, if I had to say all your gadgets on the table, we each have to bet all of our gadgets on us and that we've bought in the last 2 years, what company do you bet buys it?
Buys Twitter?
Yeah. All your gadgets are at stake. Every piece of electronics you've bought or that have been given to you in the last 2 years are at stake.
Somebody like Verizon or Comcast or a company that's trying to switch out of its business model as rapidly as possible.
So somebody who wants ad revenue.
An exec at Google R&D told me that we're not going to use the phone company in 5 years. We're going to use wireless coming from Google, from a plane, from a hot air balloon, and from a satellite network.
You believe that?
I do.
Okay.
Do you notice what blew up on that SpaceX?
It was a Facebook satellite.
And what was the satellite for?
It was for low Earth orbit internet in Africa.
That's
built
what they
by an
said.
Israeli company.
First of all, I don't believe when some executive like Mark Zuckerberg says, I'm just building this for poor people in Africa. It's for everybody.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, I don't think you can trust anything Zuckerberg says to be
actually. He's signaling to his employees that I have a new mission, which is bring internet to everybody,
right?
To the world that it doesn't have it yet. Great mission. But it's not just for the poor people in Africa. It's
so you think he wants to do a low Earth orbit satellite system?
Google is building it too. They have a fiber network that is unparalleled. Google has more fiber. They can get a packet from here to India faster than the phone company can because they have more fiber from here to India. They're building, and it's not just Apple and Google. there's startups that we know that are building satellites.
SpaceX is doing it. They've been public about it. They're going to do a low Earth orbit satellite system. And so if people don't know what that is.
That's a backhaul so that the satellites can share packets with each other and put packets around the Earth and then distribute those packets down to something on the ground or something close to the ground.
It's a pizza-sized box. For people who haven't seen this, I guess somebody can Google it right now and they could tell us some of the names of the companies that do it. But the difference, as I understand it, as was explained to me by people involved, low Earth orbit satellites have a narrower field of coverage, right? And they burn up, I don't know what you call that, aperture? But anyway, because they're lower, they don't cover as much land.
It's opportunity.
Right.
So if you're a geosynchronous one, you're too far away to get like a good picture.
Right.
But if you're low enough to get a good picture, you have 12 minutes of going across your house. And those are the only 12 minutes because of shooting. I should explain it to my kids a couple days ago.
And so this low Earth will require, I was told, 850 satellites to cover humanity, you know, major populations. And they will burn out of the atmosphere every number of years. They don't know exactly what that is, but call it 3, 4, 5 years. So you're constantly going to be putting up small satellites.
Which you're going to do anyways because the technology is going to get better.
Exactly.
Right?
But the latency has changed. So somebody, Twisted Mister, is saying, oh, the latency is the issue. That's with the Hughes satellite system and all this other garbage that's up there already that take a second to bounce things back and forth because it's so far up and they want to have such a wide aperture because they want to
cover everything. The planes fly at 80,000 feet above air traffic
control. You're talking about the internet planes.
Facebook has a plane. Imagine that. That's going to fly over your house. Out of visible range that your devices are going to talk
to. JetBlue and Verizon Southwest will be in the 30s, 40s for some of the private jets. And then at 80,000, we're going to have fleets.
Of balloons and
armadas
that stay there for months, right? This Aquila
internet
plane that Facebook's built is a drone, and it stays up over your house for 3 months, 4 months off of solar power. Because it can work on – it has a big windspan, so it has a lot of
solar. When that happens, what happens to the phone companies? Gone?
They're dead. That's why Verizon needs to buy Twitter.
All right.
Well, that was a long story to get back to that.
All right. When we get back from this next important break, we're going to talk about Snapchat releasing spectacles. And if Scoble will make a spectacle of himself with Snapchat spectacles in his shower and – we'll show the meme. The
never giving you a pair, ever.
Literally, the curse of Scoble returns.
If it's a great product, it won't be killed by any one person.
As everybody knows, Robert Scoble killed Google Glass by wearing them naked in a shower and turning them on. When we get back,
a lot of
will Robert
Google
Scoble
Glass.
Get naked?
Robert,
if I have that much power,
will he take his shirt off and wear? Right now, Evan Spiegel has just given. I have a breaking news story. Evan Spiegel has given Robert Scoble 4% of Snapchat's equity in exchange for never wearing snap glasses in the shower.
And
we'll
never
talk
take
about
your
it
shirt
all.
Off.
Please. We'll talk about it when we get back on This Week in Tech.
I have a new Wi-Fi router. I've tried them all. And I have to say, no matter what I used, I had at Airport Extremes, I had that Asus, there was just never any Wi-Fi throughout the house or it would drop out. And you know, my wife would complain and say, "Oh, you know, I'm not getting Wi-Fi in the bedroom," and it was just a constant battle. I think you probably know what I'm talking about. Wi-Fi was easy when you were the only person that had it, but now it's congested. The bands are congested. There's people everywhere. The distances. It seems like it works worse than it ever did until I got an Eero. Eero. It is something very, very different. First of all, it's a whole home system. It blankets your entire house. And, you know, you could start with one Eero, but you probably should get if you have Wi-Fi issues, get the kit of three. And you put you connect that one to your cable modem. If you want, all of them can be connected. But you can have one base station and then satellite units. It's mesh, so it's very flexible. And then there's an app, Android or iOS, that helps you pair the additional units, helps you place them and pair them. And now once they're paired, and by the way, that is the easiest thing in the world. I can get Wi-Fi now in places I never got it before, including as I walk up the drive and down the street. It's great. WPA2 encryption, don't worry, the best encryption. And the Wi-Fi app connects you to the Eero folks. So they are constantly updating. I get firmware updates. In fact, the first time you install it, it will examine your system and will add software depending on what kind of devices. If you have a Roku or an Apple TV, it goes, okay, we're going to do QoS. It's so smart. You also can do the things if you want to do port forwarding, no problem. It even has reservations. It's a sophisticated system. It'll give you an idea of your bandwidth. It's doing bandwidth checks. And it looks great. It's sleek. No, antennas everywhere. Oh, and by the way, a 30-day money-back guarantee. You're not getting my Eero back. My wife, Lisa, said, kill me. It really works, and I really want you to try it. We've got free overnight shipping, so if you're in a Wi-Fi emergency, you can have it tomorrow. Go to eero.com and select overnight shipping at checkout, and then the code for that is TWIT, of course, T-W-I-T. I was skeptical at first, and I have even tried kind of things like Ubiquiti, some really kind of complicated solutions. This has all the power of those more complicated enterprise systems, but the ease of use, it's the easiest Wi-Fi system I've ever set up. Anybody can do it, and it solves a massive problem. EERO.com, and don't forget, free overnight shipping when you use the offer code TWIT. Thank you, Eero. And now back to TWIT.
Thank you, Eero, for providing great Wi-Fi, blanketing my house. I use the product, and it's great that they're supporting independent media like This Week in Tech. Use it, too.
Yeah.
2 out of 4. Yeah. What's up with you other guys? You got to get on this.
It'll mesh be 3 Wi-Fi out of 4 so after next fast. Week.
Oh. All right. This is the big news of the weekend, at least. You can pull up my screen here. Brace yourselves. If there's kids in the room, you want to get them out. But here is Robert Scoble wearing the new Snapchat spectacles.
If you don't know about
Snapchat, yeah, you can take
there's,
it off the screen.
There's multiples of, thank these, you. Of this photo, by the way.
I love the fact that the producers here are just so quick to get something off the screen. That's just absolutely abhorrent. Okay. here we go. I think we just had to put the explicit on the iTunes for this show.
Right. Nice. So
let's watch the video here, and I think we can talk over it. But as people know, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, Snapchat, rather, bought a promising company that was making video sunglasses.
Yeah.
And it was an Indiegogo and a Kickstarter. It was one of these, like, kludgy hardware projects that you figured, they're never going to deliver it. I believe they did deliver their product. It was
never shipped it.
They never shipped it because on one of the I went to one of the pages and they said they got it.
I have pictures of it.
Snap.
Anyway,
I have pictures of the founder here. Let me see.
Anyway,
these were the pictures of the prototypes. I don't know. Is there a camera here that can
there's a camera looking at you.
Yeah.
Look at directly in your face.
Everything. Yeah. So there's the founder wearing them, and the way these
this
work.
This is 2 years ago.
This is 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The way these product the product works is. If you press a button on the corner, it lights up an LED circle for 10 seconds, records whatever you see, and posts it automatically to your Snapchat. You never have to take your phone out of your pocket. You never have to authenticate or whatever it is. And critically, and I think that this is the big difference, Google Glass resulted in many people getting punched in the face, beat up, or many arguments and fights started because...
There was three or four.
Okay, whatever. There's 3 or 4 that were well-documented. One by a woman who I think was trying...
Sarah Slocum.
The sense I got was she was trying to provoke people with them.
Yeah.
Mm. She was. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest. She was provoking
people.
That's
how we are, right?
No, that's a deranged... That was deranged. She was literally walking up to people in a bar.
We're disruptors. We're wearing weird things on our face.
You know,
and
I don't think you're...
Push society. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Right.
She was trying to pick fights. I remember that. She was picking fights with me. She was picking fights with you.
She would walk up to you and be like, I'm recording you right now. What did I... And you'd feel like... You felt like you were being assaulted by paparazzi. And then she would do it in a bar in San Francisco, which, by the way... I don't think you want to go into a bar in San Francisco or anywhere, and then especially a dive bar, and then go up to somebody who's half drunk and say, can I record you? Or not even ask. Just start recording them.
But spectacles, they're totally different, at least in my opinion. They're like, the price is completely different.
$130.
Which is just a...
Versus $1,300.
Which is a totally reasonable price for
10%.
Normal sunglasses.
Times have changed.
That too.
We have Snapchat now. And Snapchat is a daily video show about your life. It's split up into little segments. We might call them in TV land shots, right? We're right now somebody is choosing who to focus the cameras on.
Yes.
It's a shot. And probably we're on air for 5 seconds or 10 seconds, right? While we're talking. And in Snapchat, that's what you're doing. You're capturing videos in a small segment, and it builds a narrative about your day. And you can actually grab the day and store it to your phone or share it out on other places like Facebook or YouTube, right?
So they solve the problem of you want to punch the person in the face because they're recording you covertly because you're going to press them. However, it is inevitable, Brian, that these will result in people putting up no snap glasses in this bar, in this club, at this concert, correct?
So it is. I mean,
will there be a backlash? How big?
You know, there was that woman who posted something on Snapchat from her gym, right? There was the person that was older, a little heavier, standing over a tub, a sink, and she's like, "I can't unsee this." Then you have to see
that's
it
against
too.
The law.
She
by
meant
way.
To see it, send it to a friend. Yep. And she sent it to her followers instead.
Ooh. Taking the picture is illegal.
Right.
Snapping a picture in a locker room is illegal.
Completely illegal, right? Completely.
I didn't realize that was actually a law. I just thought
that
was
common sense. In California, it's a law.
Right.
That's also why the cameras on your phones make a noise. They don't have to make a noise, but they make a noise to alert people when you're in the gym club, you know, shower, right?
That you're taking pictures of like light on.
Right. So I think they're doing this the right way. These are crazy. You can't miss them. They're not a Google Glass. It's also used to open web browsers that only you can see and like all this other junk that was supposed to do.
These are single function.
Single function. I'm here to do this crazy thing. And you really can't hide them in a shower somewhere, right?
Right.
So. Most people don't understand why Google Glass caused these fights. It really doesn't have anything to do about the camera. Because I was in the Sahara tent at Coachella, and everybody's recording on their phones.
Well, you
but
know.
But there was two guys in front of me. One talked to the other and said, "I need to get away from the Google Glass people." I wasn't wearing it because I didn't wear it then. There was two people behind me who had Google Glass on. So I grabbed these two guys and said, "What makes you nervous about this? You're in a place where everybody's recording.
You're on
so
camera,
it's not
for
about
sure.
the camera." Yeah. And they said, "It just makes me feel bad."
Yes.
Two reasons I pulled out of them. One, there's a screen between them that they can't see, and they can't renegotiate the social contract that we have with each other. If you start playing with Facebook right now in the middle of the show, I'd slap your hand. Why are you doing that when there's something more important to pay attention to? And the second thing is, they felt that the person who had them on had information about them that they didn't have about the people that had them on.
So they had an advantage, an information advantage. I'll tell you why I don't like it. Because I saw a Google executive get on the dance floor, and all the girls left the dance floor. And I thought that was the reason. I wanted to. I was like, "We're just sitting here dancing with like 10 girls, and you literally a Google exec comes along. He's like, hey.
But they're not. They
everybody
not,
runs.
They were not that fashionable. The spectacles. If you actually look at the fashion.
Well, look at these.
Now.
Pull this one up. I mean, this is Evan Spiegel, who's dating a supermodel. I don't know who it is.
Oh,
I think they're married or engaged.
They're engaged.
I mean, and look this. I mean, he's from LA. He's a hip dude. And look at the side.
Yeah.
He's got the side thing here. I mean, it looks good.
So this style is in right now for like teenagers, like 13 to 18. So it's part of it. So, you know, I want to do one prediction with the group.
Okay, here we go. Prediction or long bet?
We
prediction
bet.
Or long bet?
Let's do a bet on
okay,
sales.
Here we go.
Sales. You pick the time frame.
Sales, total, let's see, 2017 sales, not 2016. When do they come out?
By the end of the year.
By the end of the year. So 2017 with the first full year?
No, start with the begin when they come out till the end of 2017.
All right, well, no. Let's give a mulligan on the first X. Let's just say 2018.
Okay.
2018 total sales. Everybody write it down or type it on your computer. Or actually, no, somebody can set the line. That's the better way to do it. We'll set the line and then make a bet. Who wants to set the line?
What
total
does
units
that mean?
Sold.
To explain
set
what
the line
is
over-under.
We're
going to
do
right.
over-under. So if you pick 10 million, I can pick over or under. So you set the line.
Every teenager is going to have them.
Every teenager, okay. 320 million Americans.
Well,
70, 80 million of them are under the age of 18.
$130 they have to. Yeah. Let's say 20% of teenagers are going to have them in the first year.
That's 14 million.
Whatever number you come up with, I'm already saying under.
I'm going to say 3.5, yeah, okay.
You have no clue.
All right, here we go. It's going to make a good bet.
And again.
This is so funny because like a minute ago, you're like, I'm going to take half my ego. I'm going to park half over here.
Right now, but you know
now you're telling me.
All right, the chat is giving
I've been meeting with groups of teenagers to study this.
Okay.
All right, and every single teenager says they want one.
Of course.
So,
and it's $100
when I go to Coachella, when Thomas Hawk and I went to Coachella and shot people with big cameras, the millennials came up and danced for us. Mm-hmm. They want their picture taken. What is this Snapchat era? It's a selfie era. It's a look at me era.
Okay.
This is going to be very, very popular.
Okay. So the number, give us a number.
I'd say.
We're going to bet for a pair of the glasses. Whatever the highest end pair is from Snapchat, we'll bet for glasses.
In the first 18 months, basically. No,
2018. 2018 total.
That's calendar year 2018.
Calendar year 2018.
So wait, so it's just sales in there or total from before?
Total sales in 2018 only, not counting the first year. Because the first year could be like, who knows?
How many GoPros sell a year?
That's a good question. It's going to be millions.
That's the over-under.
Low millions,
Will it beat GoPro? That's the over-under, because that's the real one. That's the real company this disrupts, because the technology on this is so amazing.
If you're saying if it's GoPro, I guarantee it sells more than GoPro.
Right.
In 2018. 100%. As a matter of fact, I will bet.
I'll take that bet, too.
Okay. I'll say it's double. Double GoPro sales in 2018. Of traditional GoPro cameras. If GoPro comes out with one of these, I can't say that.
Let's look at GoPro anyway.
For sure, it'll outsell GoPro. What do you think, Brian? Where would you set the line and the number that will be sold in 2018?
I give up. He told me I was wrong.
What do you think? Is it going to be?
No, you know, so I totally get the kids using them. I actually like this angle where if I was thinking about getting a GoPro, which could cost hundreds of dollars or more, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get these instead.
For sure.
But it's only 8 or 10 seconds. It's not the whole 3 hours of my, you know, mountain climb, right?
So, GoPro sold $1.6 billion in 2015.
Billion?
What?
$1.6
billion.
Sales revenue.
Right.
$1.6
billion. Revenue. So if you divide that by $400 average, you're talking about, whatever, 40 million of them or something like that.
All right. That's in 2015, and they're going to sell probably more.
I don't know how much they cost. Or 4 million of them, actually. It would be 4 million. 4 million times 400? Yeah, 4 million times 400. I would say 2018 sales, I'll set the line at 6 million units.
Slightly under.
Under or over in 2018?
I think it's way over that.
Okay, he thinks it's way over that. He's
slightly
got me convinced.
Under? What do you say?
I'll take it over.
You take the over? Okay, great. I'm going to take the under. So we have two unders, two overs. Mm-hmm. We'll bet.
I hope I'm wrong. Please send me glasses.
Oh, no, even better. We'll bet whatever the most expensive hamburger in San Francisco is.
And Hardaway says kids.
There's going to be a $120 truffle hamburger. We'll find it.
Hardaway says kids will be over it in 2018.
So here's the feature that's missing from this that I thought I had just written about it last week because I had heard this was coming. The piece that's missing is it's not a DVR. And what this really should be is it should always be recording.
Yeah.
I know this will get people punched in the face, but really where this is going, and when I think this will probably happen by 2020, and I would fund a startup to do this because it's inevitable anyway, so I'm not going to make a judgment call on it. But if it's a DVR, and at any point in time I can press it and go back on the last hour, find that clip, right, and boom, so I don't have to press it. I say, wow, that was a funny moment. Now I'm pressing it.
No, this is like my wife says this all the time. If we could just go back 5 seconds, that thing you said you didn't say.
Yeah.
And like, this is like divorce product, not happening. No.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't say that. You said
I know. Yeah, exactly.
I never said that.
Go back.
My wife is going to wear it.
I know. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to wear it. Won't Snapchat.
Okay, take your glasses off.
Snapchat,
nobody's marrying you, Ben.
Hey. I'm not going to wear it while I'm on a date. But here's the other thing. I think you're going to see a big load on 2017. And it's going to be a little bit less in 2018 because it's a two every other year kind of product.
The thing we're all missing is there's some real technology in this product. There's two lenses. There's a reason for that, because with two lenses, you can do a computer on the diff and you can build a point cloud, a volumetric point cloud, so I can capture you in three dimensions for VR and AR. And the algorithms that they're developing for AR, putting things on your face, are getting really advanced for 2D. Wait until they do it in 3D.
It's fairly clear that this is a step. A very pragmatic step towards augmented reality, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we all agree on that.
Screens are just too expensive.
The screens are very expensive. So if people get addicted to this, then I believe the second feature that's missing that would be pretty neat after the life DVR, I'll call it, the life DVR, is over people's head, putting their last snap, if your friends, who your friends in common are. In other words, when you walk through the world and you go to a party, you don't know who you know.
Yeah.
And you don't know who you've met before, and you may not remember who their wife or their husband is or their kids' names are or who they dated in your social circle. You're going to actually have all that information floating on top of people's heads.
Yeah.
And that would really, really, really benefit Snapchat. So
they can do a lot more than Boca. People in the chat room are asking, what does this mean that you can do? If you have depth information, you can turn this entire world into Minecraft, for instance. And all of a sudden, Ben is a Minecraft character over there. And the whole world is bricks, right?
Yeah.
And that helps me make better content. Most people suck at content. Most people just know how to do a selfie or a little picture at Yosemite or something.
They don't know how to frame the shot. They don't know how to blur the background.
They don't know how to tell
depth.
A story. I read a lot of Snapchats and look at a lot of Snapchats. And I look at a lot of people's behavior on Twitter and Facebook to understand them. Most people suck at content. And this augmented reality stuff that they're doing on the face helps you tell a better story about yourself. It makes you more interesting. It's funny to look at the feed and see Ben Parr wearing drag, you know?
What's
that from? Well, that's one of the filters. You
Ben
can choose.
Wearing drag again.
Right.
All right.
Rainbow vomit. Rainbow
after
vomit.
This final, I believe it's the final. No? Okay. After this break,
we have more.
We have horrifying, bizarre news. A Verge employee was concurrently and covertly working for Apple Computer without the Verge and no word out of Apple if they knew. And nobody can seem to understand exactly what this is, but we have some theories that we'll talk about when we get back.
Don't have another phone conference call. Never. Stop it. You need to do GoToMeeting, folks. I still set up phone conference calls, you know, this ostensibly audio-only conference calls, but I do it with GoToMeeting. And then that way, first of all, they've got a great conference bridge system, so it really, really works well. And you don't have to use a phone system if you want. You could do it on an iPad with a built-in data, with Wi-Fi. You could do, I mean, it's very flexible. But here's the other thing. You're in a GoToMeeting and you say, well, I really need to show you this. You can pop up your screen. See? Or, hey, I want to see you. You can see each other through high-def video. Many participants. I'm always hesitant to use something with a new client, right? I imagine you are too, because you're pitching them and you don't want to make them jump through hoops. With GoToMeeting, it's really easy. They get a link in their email. It says, all right, Leo's going to have this meeting at 2 o'clock on Friday. Click the link when it's time. And if they don't have the software, it downloads it. 30 seconds later, it's up and running. No problem. It's very easy. And you're having the conference call. You're seeing each other. And they're seeing your presentation. They didn't have to jump through hoops. Usually, they're very impressed. They say, "What is this? I want to try it." Well, you could try it right now, free, for 30 days. Go to meeting.com for a sales demo, a presentation, for collaboration, for an ad hoc meeting. Every meeting counts. I love this. I didn't know this. 9 out of 10 GoToMeeting customers say they close deals more than 20% faster. It is a very powerful tool. You will love it. Your clients and colleagues will love it, too. GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. And we thank GoToMeeting. They've been with us forever. Since before the podcasts. Seriously. And we thank them so much for their support of This Week in Tech. Now, back to our fabulous panel. There's lots more to talk about, guys.
Okay, thank you, GoToMeeting. I've had an account for a decade, and I love, love GoToMeeting. So thank you for supporting Twit. When we left, we were talking a bit about the bizarre case of a Verge employee. For people who don't know, Verge is like the third iteration of Gizmodo and Engadget. It's actually the team from Engadget left Engadget and AOL to go start The Verge. And a reporter there, Chris Ziegler. Have you ever met Chris?
Yeah.
You met him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had press conferences and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So
I don't
you're
know him
smirking.
Very well.
You got your eyes rolling, Ben.
I don't know him very well. He always seemed nice.
You seem
know,
like a nice person. A former founding editor of The Verge was employed at Apple this summer while he worked for the tech and culture website Verge. Editor-in-chief Patel announced an open letter on Friday. My good pal Lockhart Steele, who has the greatest name in all of publishing, says that there was no editorial decision that he did that had any impact, and they hadn't heard from him in a month. You have met him, Robert, you've met him before. Ben, you seem to know him a little bit better. Ben, who is this person? What the hell's going on? Is this performance art? Is this like a Mother Jones investigative piece where he's going to come out and say, like, I went to work there and I did an investigative piece and I tried to find out about the car? What's going on? It makes no sense. Why would somebody do something like this?
Well, it's doubly because it's out of character for him. Absolutely. Because he's like,
what's he like?
He's a normal
person, nerd journalist. Or?
Generally, yes. Every time I've met him, he is a really good editor and reporter. At least he was, and had really thoughtful pieces. And you know, he's been in this industry for a decent long time, but. I'm still trying to piece it together, especially the part where he hasn't been tweeting or saying a thing for 40 something days, which is extremely weird. And like, John Gruber, during Fireball was looking and it could not find his name in the Apple directory. And you know, he has access to everything at Apple. So like, there's just like 18
days. Why does Gruber have know everything about Apple? Is he?
He has inside.
He's just the inside.
He's the PR machine for Apple.
But do the people at Apple. Like, actively support him and give him inside
information? Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Because he's just like, is he like the greatest fanboy ever, Gruber?
They know where he comes from and they trust that
so he's basically going to always be pro Apple. He's going to be pro Apple.
Oh, Apple.
So they give him access.
Not completely pro Apple. Generally.
I've read him. He's not always pro Apple, right?
No. But he's consistently, like, there's this in Apple land, you know, one, you have to earn your right as a journalist. To be at the events. It took me a few years to earn their trust to even get to the events. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. they're going to always go to their defaults, or Walt Mossberg, or you know, Gruber, or someone like that.
New York
like
Times, USA Today.
Yeah, the Zico thing makes no sense at all, because the moment, like, Apple's not going to let somebody, if they knowingly know, Apple's not going to let somebody work for both a tech publication and Apple.
So
they had to fire him if they figured that out.
Logical basis, Apple did not know.
On a logical basis, absolutely did not know.
Yeah, they couldn't have.
And The Verge didn't know.
Well, so they didn't even know he was
gone. They didn't
gone.
Know he was alive.
Right.
Well, they didn't know he was gone?
No, they didn't know he was gone. So he was part of that second wave of Engadget, right? Went and founded The Verge. So he and Josh Topolsky,
yes.
They created The Verge.
Right.
So it was not like he's just a hired blogger for it, right? And so he was there. And then this thing happens in June, July. July, he starts working for Apple, right? But then he disappears. Yeah. So he wrote a couple things in July maybe. Then in August, they're just writing him. Hey, dude, are you alive? What's going on?
We've had
this happen with bloggers. We have 100 friends in common with this guy.
Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of these people, Josh Topolsky, these people come out and say, like, I love the guy. I don't know what happened here. Break from reality. You know, the people on Twitter are savage. There's a lot of funny things about this. You know, working two jobs. I wish I could work at The Verge. Seems like they have a great, you know, policies. Well, but
on Facebook,
but there's something going on.
On his Facebook, his last post was June 4th, and he's still lists deputy editor of The Verge as his
he
job.
Was very so he,
well, this is actually right. a pretty
his
good.
Z Power on Twitter. He
was
hilarious.
So something's going on.
It was amazing.
Why would he not?
All right. Well, I just want to let people know now. Yeah. I guess I got to come clean. I have been working for Project Titan since the beginning. And we're coming out with an electric submersible car. It's sort of like the James Bond car.
And what does your friend Elon say about that?
I haven't broken it to Elon yet. Sorry. I'm the head of Project Titan.
For people who don't know, Jason and I were out to dinner about 10 years ago. And Jason says, hey, you want to see the new Tesla? And I said, of course I want to see the new Tesla. It was only Elon had only had it for 2 weeks, right?
When yeah, it was over. It wasn't even number one. It was. P1,
yeah.
Which was the first prototype. He had P1.
Yeah, 2 weeks after he got it, right?
Yeah. And nobody knew.
You had a Corvette, and then he says to you,
yeah.
Let's race. And that's the legend, right?
Well, then this idiot.
Because he blew you away, and then you turn around and goes, buys a Tesla. You were like one of the first customers because of
that. Well, we were driving well within the speed limit.
No, we weren't.
And the 405.
Thank God the video's gone. Criminal.
Yeah, but this idiot takes out his Nokia 451. What was that? The Nokia?
N95,
which at the time had Quick, which was the first streaming video. It was basically like all the streaming video stuff 10 years ago. It barely worked.
Yeah.
But there we were.
We had 1,000 people watching us live broadcasting from the Tesla.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And people didn't know who Tesla were at the time. But yes, it's true.
Elon was not Elon. It was just small letters.
It is... Yeah, well, anyways, listen, if, with this guy, and I don't know if I must have met him. I don't think he was at Engadget when I was there, but I hope he's okay, mm-hmm. number one, and I hope if it is mental illness or some break from reality, I hope he gets help. Yeah. Otherwise,
I hope some of his friends have been able
to. Well, you know, it's also, it goes to this whole trolling thing, right? Like, we're all sitting here laughing about it because it is bizarre and it's unique, but maybe the person is suffering and maybe there's something going on like that. And, you know, in that case, you know, it's great fodder for a roundtable discussion, but I hope he's sincerely, I sincerely hope he's okay, which basically means I'm a 45-year-old kid now that I'm not just making fun of him relentlessly. It is bizarre and sad, but I just hope he's okay.
I don't think it really matters too much. What it does show that some journalism outlets really take their ethics seriously, and that's a hard thing to do when you're getting free phones, right?
Well, sure. I mean, listen, the idea that tech journalism is honest and upfront, we know that train, we all are in the business. We know that train left the station a long time ago. The number of people who are doing it right is greatly outnumbered by the people who are doing it wrong. We all agree on that. I mean, people who do actual fact checking. I'm talking about fact checking. You have TechCrunch releasing a story that, like, you know, Google bought a company for $600 million because they took it off the press wire and they don't even call. I mean, journalists don't have the time to make phone calls to check or call sources anymore. They just write posts without talking to anybody. It's madness.
Yeah.
More sources, faster times, less work on little things like grammar and big things like fact checking. Yeah.
Less work on grammar and spelling, less work on fact checking, and then also
speed matters. Speed matters a lot in this business. You know, I was the first person to tell Twitter that Steve Jobs had died. Why? Because Apple called Reuters and ABC Radio, ABC first, and I was listening to ABC Radio, and they came
confirmed
on, and they said, we just got a note from Apple that Steve Jobs has died. I pulled over. It took me 2 minutes.
Somebody had tweeted that Steve Jobs died. Who was that? The woman from
it took me 2 minutes to pull over. I called Steve Gilmore and told him, and then I posted to Twitter. ABC Radio just reported that Steve Jobs had died, and the number of retweets I got on that was extraordinary. Right, and we know speed matters in some things like this. It builds brands, it builds audiences, right? And so there's a lot of pressure to be first versus be right.
Let me ask a serious question because you know. We talk about Steve, and you know, obviously, is a big figure and casts a big shadow. How much different would Apple's fate be right now in terms of like what we saw in the last launch, or just its prominence in the industry? How different would it be? 10% different? 100% different? What do you think?
I think you got to live 3 more years to answer that question properly, because if Tim Cook does what I'm thinking he's going to do,
you think he's going to drop the microphone? Like, just boom. He's going to drop so much knowledge and so much product,
so much
we're going to be
product,
blown away.
Right? Because it's the 10th anniversary of the iPhone next year. It's really an important year for Apple. And Huawei is chasing them really fast. This company is not.
Would you
not
say
made
a iPhone 7 was the worst launch of the iPhone ever? If you had to rank them.
We don't
let's
know
put
that.
It
well,
this
I'm
way.
Talking based on history. The other
let's
six.
Put it this
I'm
way.
I'm not talking on sales. I'm talking on product.
There's nothing in here calling my name saying, why aren't you using this?
So therefore it is the worst.
My photography is a little bit worse than yours is because I don't have it set up yet. It's not calling my name like previous
and iOS 10, same thing.
Same thing, right? It's not it. It's,
is
it, it's
that
a,
Apple's
it's a sleeper.
Fault or is it peak smartphone? Like, is there nothing left to get out of it? Is it just that we've reached like the PC did it eventually? Like, it's as big as it's going to get?
A huge number of innovations coming in the next 18 months to both Android and iPhone.
You're
getting 3D sensors that map the world in 3D, and you're going to get augmented reality because of that. The GPU in this phone is 10 times faster than the GPU in the Huawei phone, which also has dual camera. And that's the number 3 manufacturer in the world. That GPU is going to matter to virtual reality. They're coming out with eye sensors that are going to watch where your eyes look, and it's going to enable a new kind of rendering, a new kind of compression called foveated rendering, where it only needs to uncompress all the polygons and all the bitmaps
that you're looking at.
Where you're looking. Everything else can remain a little bit blurry.
Ah.
And so the GPU.
So it sharpens where your eyes are focused.
The problem with VR right now is if you play Samsung's Gear VR, mine only can play play for 40 minutes.
And it overheats.
It overheats and the phone goes off and the battery dies because it's sucking as much battery as possible because the GPU is underpowered, blah, blah, blah. So this phone, I can see Apple coming out with a bunch of innovations for the phone. And so is Google. Google on October 4th this year is going to come out with some of these innovations, right?
Now, Google came out with, this is a good segue here to jump off on, Google came out with their own WhatsApp, I guess, or their own Telegram,
No. It's Allo is different.
Okay.
It's more smart assistant.
Okay. So they have a smart messaging app that has a smart assistant. And explain what Allo is, A-L-L-O.
I mean.
And is it important or not?
It's less like Google already has its messaging platform. That's like Hangouts. They already have messaging. Allo is more like the M of like Facebook's M or your Siri or like some.
Explain what that is to the audience that doesn't know Facebook.
I mean, it's a kind of chatbot in the sense that what Allo is doing is helping you with different tasks, is understanding you. It's less about like WhatsApp communication from one person to another. At least as from what I've known, I've only played with it just in brief bits and pieces. Because I don't have an Android, I usually don't use. Are we going to play the video?
I was going to play the video, yeah.
Let's play the video. Play the music. But...
So there's definitely messaging in it. It's fun messaging, like all the iMessage additions, right? But the problem, the thing that's biting them is they kind of came out and said, we're going to encrypt it all. You're going to be fine. It's going to be like a Snapchat, right? Nobody can see your stuff. And they said, oh, wait a minute. For us to help you with all the stuff you're saying, we have to listen to everything and then store it.
Yeah, of course.
So they backpedaled on all that.
But also they have a secret deal with the White House in order to not have the antitrust come down too hard on them, that they're going to give backdoors to everything in the White House, according, allegedly, from people I know who are smart, that there's some sort of relationship between Google and this White House where it's a very cozy relationship. Google went to visit the White House a lot in the Obama administration, and they believe that the reason a lot of the FTC investigations got canned on Google for antitrust were because of the backdoors and a lot of the helping them. Now, this is a conspiracy theory, but it's pretty there's a lot of smoke around this conspiracy theory.
So they have to think of Allo as a combination. You're seeing this more in a lot of messaging products. Yes, there's the messaging and there's the fun stuff, but it has Smart Assist. It has the Google Assistant in there to add context into parts
shopping.
Of conversations. Shopping, yes, or locations or suggestions. And I don't in the end, the only thing you really care about in messaging is scale. Yeah. Why do you use Facebook Messenger? All your friends are on it. Why do you use WeChat? Your friends in China are on it. Yeah. But the Smart Assistant thing is happening more. The chatbot, whatever you want to call that. LinkedIn on Friday, a couple days ago, had the launch of their bot, InBot, in the LinkedIn.
Oh, really?
Messaging.
So the InBot will go and delete all the incoming spam I have in my email?
No, it just says yes to everything.
I mean, literally, the signal-to-noise ratio on LinkedIn is literally 0% signal. I can almost guarantee if you're emailing me through LinkedIn or messaging me through LinkedIn, it is not in my best interest to reply.
But every influencer post you write there, I like it and I share it.
Which is amazing. There's that part of there's parts of LinkedIn that are amazing, but the email system, the fact that
they're overhauling it, is they know it's not great.
It's so horrible. It's not that it's bad, it's that it's horrible. It's literally because they let people pay to email people who are not next
to them.
That's
part of the problem.
So 100% of people who email me are literally trying to waste my time with something, and it's just really? Are you not able to guess first name at whatever company name I work at?
Right. Or any of the 10.
Yeah. Or any of the 10 emails I punch at, number one.
This is the perfect time for you to plug LeadIQ, by the way.
Well, anyway. putting it aside, LinkedIn obviously is the directory of everything, but I just think it's just wacky that InMail even exists and that people think that it's working or something to get to me or to other people. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a super router. Do you have this problem? Or do you even check your InMail?
I set aside an hour. And I just do it. You know what I mean? I don't respond to things
ever
all week long.
Have you ever had something come through InMail that is of high quality?
I have, but it's very small percentage.
Right. Yeah, compared to, say,
I have to read 100 weird, stupid things for the one.
I have a really good idea for this, which is they should let you have your and I think they were going to do this with Reportive, which I was an investor in at some point. They should let you have your name at LinkedIn. mail.com or something like that, and have it be a proper mail client. but have it just sort in tabs. These are people you don't know. These are people you're friends with. And just make it super clear that it's two different groups of people. I know that this business model is predicated on people being able to get to you, but it's gotten so overwrought.
They do that on Facebook already.
Yes.
And so there's this hidden inbox.
Yes.
And you go there and there's something 4 years old. You're like, oh my God, I wish I'd seen that. You're never going to see that.
Even like, yeah, Facebook has the three inboxes and it works really, it works as a system.
Yes. And Gmail does it and it works well too. It's like, here's forums and here's whatever,
I think that you will see that happen with LinkedIn over the next 12 months, and they see that.
As Microsoft takes it up.
Yes, as Microsoft embeds more of their tech into it. Messaging is important to Microsoft.
Okay. Samsung has 25% of their explosive phones being exchanged, and they're giving people a super notice on this. When you go – I have to say I think Samsung's doing the right thing here.
Yeah.
They really have gone over the top. When you plug in your Samsung phone, if it's one of the ones that were – and Samsung 7S was the best phone reviewed ever in the history of all smartphones. So it's actually kind of a bummer for them, I think. I feel bad for them because
– it really hurts them.
It really is like –
and it hurts VR too because it keeps –
yeah, you get to put your phone on your face.
Yeah, right, in front of your eyes.
Oh, yeah. Let me do that.
Think about that. Wow.
You actually want goggles between you and your phone.
God. Just when we were starting to get comfortable with our phones. Yeah. But they –
but that message and then only charging at 80%, what other things are they doing?
By the way, my friend Andy –
oh, they're only charging at 80%?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so smart.
It won't let you – it won't let you make it so bad.
My friend, that's one temporary fix. Right. My friend who Andy Grignon, who worked on the first iPhone team, says he guarantees me Apple is spending thousands of hours rechecking all of their battery suppliers and data and making sure their phone doesn't do the same
thing. Now, what happened? Was it the does anybody know the core of it? There was some foil between the batteries? And
lithium ion batteries can explode.
Well, we all know that, but there was some defect, right? So,
there's a defect in the software. There's a defect in the manufacturing somewhere.
There's a specific in the hardware, than software.
Yeah.
So there's the anode,
which is
diode
software
of lithium ion batteries, and then there's the middle. I can't remember what you call the middle, that the Permian barrier that prevents the two. If once you have a puncture or a issue with it, then when they you have a short circuit, and that's what can cause the thermal. Whatever you call the thermal cascade, that's what it's called.
I think they're going to rebound. I mean, I know it's terrible to have to replace them. It's going to cost them a lot of money, but they have a ton of money. And so I think they rebound. Somebody who I think will never rebound at this point is Yahoo. Hundreds of millions of people had their I think it's 500 million user
517
accounts.
517 or something.
Largest hack by a magnitude.
Yeah.
And it had people's security questions, date of birth, passwords. I mean, it had everything. And they knew about it supposedly in 2014 and did not inform their users?
Yeah.
Is that even possible that Marissa would do something so incredibly irresponsible and dumb? I mean, I'm not saying Marissa's dumb. I'm saying this is a dumb decision.
Yeah.
I have to be careful. I don't want to ruin all my relationships, but kind of that ship has sailed at this point. But it's one thing for Marissa to not have done a great job as CEO there and not been focused and gotten, but to hide a hack, if that's in fact what happened, and it seems like that's where the evidence is suggesting that they actively hid a hack.
Yeah.
What is the liability on actively hiding a hack where people could have changed their passwords? I mean, it's beyond materially significant, Omega Project in the chat room.
It sounds like a whole chapter in an MBA book in about 10 years. You know?
And now the Verizon deal is could be, could be at stake. So does this mean that – because I wonder if this ever got to the board level.
So they've said recently, last couple of days, that there was something they only knew about recently. It was brought to them, right? There was some team knew about it, but not the people selling it to Verizon.
That sounds like a huge lie.
Right.
Number one. That sounds like your analysis of the account. But even if it's not a lie, you're supposed to know and you're supposed to have a security policy. So if you didn't have a security policy, that major hacks went to the board level. The board is supposed to know. So if the board knew and didn't do this, that would be fraud. Which means massive shareholder lawsuits. I mean, it would be active fraud. It could be criminal fraud if they subverted this. I don't want to screw up my relationship with anybody. But
We do need more details. Yeah.
We need more details because we don't know the extent or how long they actually knew and which parts and which divisions. All we know is there was a clear security. enormous security breach that affects hundreds of millions of people, their email accounts, their Flickr accounts, very personal accounts. And like, it just, we are hearing about this just happen more and more. And the standard, for one, the standard for internet security is just horrendous in general. And just two, like, it won't affect, Verizon will still acquire that. Still acquire Yahoo.
Oh, it's got to cut half the price off.
But it's good.
What's the liability? A couple of dollars per user? I don't know. $1 billion?
Lawsuits everywhere.
It's huge, and God knows why they did it. I had another friend who had has a service that is a DNS service, and I asked him, why do you keep showing ISIS to the world? And he says, the government asked me not to shut it down. Is there something like this going on? I don't know.
Oh, and wow. So now we got a conspiracy theory.
Have we really...
on top of...
Have we really...
Well, they did like to... I mean, let's be honest. What we learned from the Snowden... you know, releases. And I'm no fan of...
They didn't say which state sponsored it, right? They said it's a state-sponsored hacking.
Is it state-sponsored? Yeah.
That's what they said. They haven't said which state, though.
And if the Chinese are using something, we are too.
Right. Well, it's getting very interesting because if you think about, you know, the
scary
leaks
stuff
coming out of WikiLeaks are all anti-democratic party, anti-Hillary, and... They seem to be Russian-based, and Trump is got relationships with the Russians, a lot of investors.
I have relationships with the Russians. I had dinner with the Boris Yeltsin team the other day.
Did you really?
Yeah. They're nice guys. They're running his foundation.
I have a relationship with pierogies.
The Smirnoff.
That's the extent of my relationship with the Russians.
Solignias.
A little bit of vodka. Right. It does seem like our election... Forget about all of our personal effects and, you know, what we have in our Flickr accounts. It feels like the election is being impacted deeply by this hacking. Yeah. I mean, Bernie Sanders, the Democrats actively subverted his candidacy and maybe cost him the candidacy. I don't know if that's actually correct or not. He probably wouldn't have won anyway. But it's pretty dark. The extent of hacking impacting the world is getting very severe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not changing. Is it changing behavior? I mean, I now am setting massively long hashes for every
one of the reasons
different passwords
I have
on everything.
One of the reasons when I get a new phone, I start out clean. I don't bring a backup over.
Oh, wow.
I reset up all the apps and I change my passwords and I really think through my passwords, my security profile.
Two-factor authentication on everything.
Mm-hmm. A separate password for everything.
Separate password for everything. If you're listening to
long
this
password
and you
everything.
Don't have... two-factor, you don't use a password manager, that suggests long hashes.
Even a password manager is a weakness, though, right? It's a single point of failure.
It's a single point of failure, but it's very hard to get into, especially if you have two-factor on, right?
My friend Steve Ball runs the identity team at Microsoft, and he says within 5 years he's going to get rid of the passwords. And he has a variety
passwords
of techniques that they're going to do to get rid of passwords. First of all, they're going to have eye sensors, right? And they're going to take a picture of your eyes, and they're just going to know it's Jason Calacanis'
eyes.
It'll
know.
Because your eyes
like
have a fingerprint.
Minority Report or Mission Impossible.
And then they're going to use the different devices you wear on you to validate that it's you, because your phone never
But there's
you.
Can I just note, though, there is a different security issue with that, and it's the security issue you saw with the government wanting to unlock that iPhone with, you know, like with fingerprints. And, like, if you want to keep your iPhone away from the government, don't put your fingerprint on it, because they can force you to do the fingerprint, but they can't force you to type in the password.
Get this $16,000 phone, which has its own kernel inside that is shut off from the rest of the world, and you can do conversations. I mean, this is how
$16,000.
But you, or if you're CEO of Apple and you don't want China to get into your secrets when you're sending information back home, which they're doing, right? They steal everything this way. You want top rate encryption, and you want a fingerprint that you want a surface area that's really shut down. It shuts off the sensors on the phone, right? Did you see Mark Zuckerberg puts a piece of tape over
and
his
they're recommending it now.
For sure.
I don't. I do. Hey NSA, what's it going on? Or hey,
actually going to put the tape on it very soon.
Yeah, but that's what you're doing is reducing the surface area of attack on you.
Yeah,
you're removing sensors from possibly being attacked, and this is a problem. This is going to be a deep problem for society for a long time, because we're about to get cars that are going to self-drive. We're getting all sorts of digital information that runs our supply chains and our world, right?
All right. When we get back from this final break, we're going to keep moving through the most important issues of our day, including Tesla is releasing their 8.0 software, which has a couple of really clever features. I'm downloading it tonight. Actually, I have it set up to do that because they're rolling it out slowly now, not all at once. And Uber's self-driving vehicles have been spotted on the streets of San Francisco, not just on the test on the East Coast. And we're going to ask our panelists to tell us, when will the majority of rides in San Francisco be driven with level 4 autonomy? In other words, no steering wheel. When we get back on This Week in Tech.
Our show today brought to you by Gazelle. This is the season, isn't it? All the new phones. We're going to have there's the new Pixels from Google probably coming out next week. We got a new iPhone. Maybe you're ready for a new phone. Problem is, you know, I find, and I bet a lot of people do, the old phone works fine. You want the new stuff. You want the new features. But the old phone works fine. And it's hard to justify the expense. That's why I love Gazelle. Gazelle is a place you can go and sell your old stuff to finance the new stuff. And that makes it so easy. You don't have time. You don't have time to, you know, put a listing up and sell it and deal with the buyers and the phone calls. I mean, maybe you do. But with Gazelle, it's very straightforward. Go right now. Gazelle.com. Say you got an old iPhone 6. Find out what it's worth. That by the way, is guaranteed for 30 days, that price. So now's the time to do it, even if you don't have your iPhone yet, or you don't know if you're going to get a new Pixel phone, because you have 30 days. So this will take you into the end of the month, and then you can decide. You get the, by then you'll have the phone if you want it. If not, no harm, no foul. You're no commitment. The only commitment is on their part to pay you that amount of money, and you've got 30 days. Once you do get your new phone, you've transferred the data over, you like it, it's all working, then you pull the trigger. Gazelle sends you a box. They do all the shipping for free. You pile that gadget in. In fact, pile all your gadgets in. Get rid of them all. Clean out your drawers. There's money in those drawers. Send it to Gazelle. They'll wipe the data if you forget to. They even buy broken iPads and iPhones. They buy tablets. They buy computers. They buy screens. A large variety of stuff at Gazelle. By the way, they also sell. So if you lose a phone or you got want to get a less expensive phone for your kids, Gazelle's a great place to get a gently used, certified pre-owned. When I say certified, I mean it. They run it through a very rigorous check, 30-point check, even things like scratches, to make sure that phone is fully functional, works on all the major carriers. There's no carrier contract, though, see, so it's a good deal. And you can get a financing on checkout from a firm. You can get a warranty from Assurant, covers even things like cracked screens and water damage. Gazelle is really now full service for buying and for selling everything you need. Check it out. The new gadgets are here, which means you can get a great deal on a pre-owned gadget, right? That means a lot of people are selling their iPhone 6s, for instance. You can go in there and get a new one. Who needs the new? You know, it's got a headphone jack still. Gazelle, Gazelle, gazelle.com to buy or sell. Now back we go to Twit. Already in progress.
Previously on Twit.
I drag it. Yeah. And then I pinch and zoom it.
Pinch and zoom it, yeah. Get used to finger. Yeah, yeah.
Ah!
There we go. Oh, wait.
Okay. I am so glad I went to college.
This Week in Google.
Allo is Google's kind of smart chat app, and it is now a thing that you can download on Android and iOS.
I was downtown at Founders Forum. I put in lunch, question mark. It responded, let's find you something to eat. By the way, what kinds of food do you like? Oh, wait a second. I'm going to try fish. Red Lobster and Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. Jesus, Google. Surely, if you know me this well, you know I'm a classier guy than that.
Windows Weekly.
You actually still can get Windows 10 as a free upgrade. You just have to use your existing Windows 7 or 8.1 product key, and you can still unlock the free upgrade, which is something Microsoft's not actively advertising.
This is actually a huge opportunity for us, because I know Alex has been trying to update the TriCaster to Windows 10.
Actually, Padre, let me correct you. I really hope that nothing goes... Oh, crap.
Oh, no.
Twit. Leo says hi.
How do I know that this graphic has been used more gleefully on MacBreak Weekly and...
Okay, hold on. Let me kick the TriCaster here.
I made this. Oh, there I see. Okay.
Ooh.
That's all you
Ooh.
Need. Hey, thanks, Jason. Here's a look at a few things that we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead. On Monday, September 26th, a number of sites, including YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, will be streaming the first of three presidential debates. There will even be a virtual reality feed, courtesy of NBC, starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. On Tuesday, September 27th, Elon Musk will explain to everyone how he hopes to use SpaceX to colonize Mars someday during the Making Humans a Multiplanetary Species keynote at the annual International Astronautical Congress in Guadalajara, Mexico. On Wednesday, September 28th, Samsung will resume sales of its Galaxy Note 7 after a tumultuous month of recalls thanks to its fiery battery debacle. Sales will begin in South Korea and will resume in other markets as conditions allow. And on Friday, September 30th, Readability, a pretty popular read-it-later bookmarking service, will be shutting down after 5 years in the business. You'll want to save out your bookmarks before that happens, and they give you the tools to do so on their site. Megan Maroney and I cover all of this and more all week, every week on Tech News Today, so don't miss it. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Jason.
All right, listen. I'm obviously conflicted. I'm a shareholder in Uber. And their self-driving vehicles have been spotted on the streets of San Francisco, not just Pittsburgh. Everybody knows they built a huge team of people, or may or may not know, from Carnegie Mellon's University's Robotics Center, and they deployed a fleet of 14 Ford Fusions with radar cameras and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, they have a driver in the car. This is part of their beta. But these cars are now been seen in San Francisco. So, Robert, obviously, self-driving cars, we're seeing massive progress. Google seems to have taken, I would think, the wrong route in waiting to deploy this and going with extremely expensive LiDAR systems. Seems like Uber and Tesla now are getting out there and getting much more real-world experience. Why is Google so far behind? Why are Uber and Tesla seem
don't
to be
assume
so
they're
far,
far
ahead?
Behind?
Okay.
First of all, don't assume they're far behind. I had
but
dinner.
Let me tell you a story. $50,000.
It doesn't matter because okay. You know, with technology, it gets really cheap really fast when the numbers come up. Google. I had dinner with Peter Norvig, who runs Google's R&D, about 2 weeks ago, and he told me, he asked me, why do you think Google made the little that self-driving cars, those little bubble cars,
yes,
that can only go 25 miles an hour? And I said, I have no idea why. And he said, because when we started handing the full-size Lexuses out with all the LiDARs to the employees.
Scared people?
To the employees. We had them sign a form that said that you will be fired if you take your attention away from the road and from this machine driving.
And what do they do?
Keep in mind, they had to sign a form, you will be fired if you do this.
Right.
And there's a camera right here watching you, and
right,
the sensors on the steering wheel that
so
know you took your
hand. They lose their job,
off,
and they know they're under surveillance, and these are highly intelligent Google employees. What do they do?
Every single employee broke the rule within 3 days. Why? Because it's so amazing. I'm sorry. So
it's
damn amazing.
Freaking amazing. We'll have to take a timestamp at 1:31 and 48 seconds. Robert Scoble drops an F-bomb.
It gets so... You change your behavior because of technology, and this is a mistake that people in the industry make over and over and over again.
I can't
again.
Believe these Google employees. These people are idiots. Honestly,
no, they're not idiots. No. Because
I have self-driving level
I know,
2
but you
in
don't,
my Tesla. I've never taken my eyes off the road.
You don't
period.
Have a Google one. The
okay.
Google one is 3 years ahead of Elon. It's 3 years ahead of Mercedes. It's 3 years ahead of everybody. And it is already so amazing that when you are threatened with being fired, you get bored watching the machine work. It is so good. And your phone rings or something goes bing, and all of a sudden you're looking at the phone, and that's much more interesting than watching the car drive around. And today the little cars drive around. They don't have steering wheels. And the ones I saw in Mountain View just a couple of days ago,
yeah,
they don't have. You just ride in them and they take you places. But they go 25 miles an hour. Why 25 miles an hour? Because the lawyers were willing to take risk that a machine would do a mistake and hit somebody and hurt somebody.
But not kill them.
Not kill them. 25 miles an hour isn't fast enough to kill a human being, particularly if you have airbags and other things to slow you down. And by the way, it's not going to ever It's going to kill people at very low rates. Humans kill each other at 900,000 miles approximately, right? Once every 900,000 miles, a human dies. Tesla killed somebody at 1.3 million miles on the first one. It's going to be 4 million on the second one and 8 million on the third one.
Yeah, obviously. And the, by the way, the person who died
is learning.
Was not looking at all.
The person who died was apparently, and listen, it's tragic, but this person was a super fan.
Yeah.
And was known to watch movies while using it. It was probably, and people, this witnesses who say it was watching Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I don't mean to make light of it, but if you're going to die for a movie, that's the worst one I could ever think of. I mean, I know that's kind of dark, but.
The.
Was that too dark, folks?
No.
I just lost the entire audience.
Wow.
I mean, really, that was a terrible series. I mean, no Oscars.
Keep going.
We also assume that Google invested in self-driving cars to build self-driving cars. The technology of actually building a self-driving car pays many benefits to Google.
Yes, they want like people patents. To do searches.
But they
no,
want people to
like patents. I mean, they have a patent library now that they can license to all the other people, right?
Yeah, sure.
And second of all, it's training on us. They're parking it next to a schoolyard, for instance, to teach it what a child looks like and what the behavior of a child looks like, yeah. So that when it sees a child, it'll stop, right, in the future.
Maybe like this
and
toddler is going to chase the ball. Learning
a lot about us, a right. Scary amount about us. It's going to – and keep in mind, maybe it's for the glasses because the glasses have the same eyes that the self-driving car has on it. It has those two sensors, right?
So look, Google is clearly, I think, does have the best tech out of everybody, but – everyone else is beating them to the commercial punch for whatever reason. There is a real problem with that.
The Uber car has a human still in the car. It's not yet delivered.
The full, but you need to have that out there. They need to have
that. Yes, because they're training it right. Too. They're training
Brian Alvey.
And it's not just them. It's like, you know, it's General Motors. It's all the others.
Yes.
Brian Alvey, I want you to set the line. Let's see if you can do it here. When will the majority, and it's very important when you're gambling, everybody knows this, to have very clear lines set so we don't have after the fact people crying about losing a lot of money. When will the majority of rides, not cars, but rides, mm-hmm. rides in San Francisco and the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area, when will the majority of the rides, 51%, what year will 51% of the rides be level 4 autonomous?
So the year. Oh, that's good. 2025. Because
how 2020. How did you get that right?
That's 9 years from now.
Mine is 2026. But
really? No, 2025 because 2025 is the future. You know?
Technically speaking.
2020.
It's
2020
I was
going to no
say that about 2020. But
right. No, 2020 is not
like
the future anymore.
Right
that's like hindsight.
But 2025? Okay.
Yeah, 2025. And I think it's going to actually happen through weird sort of like land grabs where like all the buses convert. And all of something else convert. And
yes,
something
because
else
all
introduced.
The buses will really push a lot of people to self-driving, right? Sure. So if all those corporate buses.
It was 50%? More than 50%?
51% of the rides will be.
So you could do it by
autonomous.
Bodies, total bodies that move around in the city in a vehicle.
The rides.
If you said 50% of the Uber rides, I would
say.
No,
51% of rides. So that means
rides.
All rides.
First of all, let's say. Every car, every new car instantly just right now became self-driving.
Right.
It still would take 12 years for all of the, most of the cars on the road
to turn
over.
Not if they wall off the city and outlaw non-self-driving cars.
Okay.
Yeah, but that ain't going to happen until a percentage gets built.
But do we all,
you can't,
let me
you can't,
do we all agree that the government will at some point say, you are not allowed to drive your car on these roads. If you want to drive your car, go to a private road. You have to be autonomous on the 405,
no.
the 10.
Yes, eventually.
Eventually. You know,
well, what's the line on that?
Yeah, like Bloomberg in New York City. If you're going to drive
years.
In, you get taxed, you get this
30
thing.
Years.
30 years from now.
You're going to need a couple of these conversion rates.
2035.
All right, 20 years.
Red Barchetta.
2035.
See, I think that's going to be really – what's that?
Red Barchetta, the Rush song, where they don't actually drive cars anymore and –
oh, really?
Kid steals his uncle's car out of the garage and goes on a joyride. Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, Rush predicted
it. Oh,
yeah.
General Tab is talking about it.
Oh, really? That's funny.
I think that's really interesting because I think what will happen is they'll just pick one parallel highway. So in San Francisco, that would be like 280 is autonomous, 101 is not. And then everyone's going to go, oh, my God, on the 280, no idiots are fender bendering.
Yeah.
Nobody is – everybody can go 15 miles faster – things are in trains, and
which isn't true because the cars are programmed to follow the rules. So
they won't do 80.
Well, but I think we might change the rules on that highway then, because if we're like, listen, there's no chance of us hitting. Then the whole idea of being a car length for every 10 miles per hour makes no sense.
There's a great video from CGP Gray, one of my favorite YouTubers, who does a detailed video of how, with cars and self-driving, how they would change the interactions and how much faster it would be. Because part of what happens with a lot of traffic is the chain reaction. You can avoid the entire chain reaction.
Of course.
And it explains the video. Like, humans will never be able to avoid the chain reaction. Our reaction times just are not as good as machines can.
Plus, also, you have these Ford's people changing lanes constantly.
Ford's head of safety told me they instrumented the fleets that they sell cars to, and they found that 80% of humans do not fully brake into an accident. Into an accident. In other words,
of course,
you're about to hit something and you still haven't
because you are scared of the impact of the fully braking, right?
You just don't have the reaction time to start.
Right.
You're still texting or whatever, and in fact, this is where it's going to cause some accidents. The self-driving car technology, because it can stop and it will stop. It will. In fact, modern cars, even cars that don't have self-driving technologies, are already helping
sensors.
You brake. If you're on a freeway and you have your foot on the gas pedal all the way to 80 miles an hour, at 80 miles an hour, and you take it off and you push hard on the brake, it knows you're in a panic stop, because the only reason you do that is in a panic stop.
Right.
And it pre-fires the brakes and helps you brake, because you have anti-lock on a modern brake.
Yeah.
You can steer and control a car even though it's fully braking, right?
Yeah.
And if you didn't want fully braking, take your foot off the brake, right?
Yeah.
If you're in a panic stop, you would appreciate the car saving your life and helping you scrub energy, even if you're going to hit something, right?
Interestingly, the 8.0 software is coming out for Tesla, and my understanding is that you are now going to be able to not just go on one highway fully autonomous, but you're going to be able to switch. Or very soon, I don't know if it's going to happen in 8, you're going to be able to switch from one highway to another, and it will take you on the overpass across the highway. It doesn't do that currently. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you put it on, and even if your GPS says you're going to take the 280 to the 380 to the 101, like Robert and I do all the time, it's not going to actually do that. You have to – it'll be self-driving on each of those roads, but you have to take the exit ramps. It's going to do the exit ramps supposedly where that's coming. But Elon says his favorite new feature is the always-on – max temperature control for keeping kids and pets safe from overheating. Tesla keeps temperature below 105 degrees by automatically venting the cabin and turning on the AC when needed. Can do this for up to a year on a full charge. It's really a brilliant feature when you think about mm-hmm. it, because in some places, like we live here in California, you know, my car today was at 110 inside. There's no reason not to vent the windows. I mean, who cares? Nobody's mm-hmm. going to rob the car. It's easier to break the window. That would reduce it by 5 or 10 degrees. And turning on the AC just at a very low amount doesn't every once in a while. The idea that somebody would die, a dog or a kid, tragically, or both of them are tragic, obviously, would be horrible. It could be totally avoided by the software.
Yeah. Mercedes let me drive, get me a first ride in the self-driving car out in the desert. And we ran over a tumbleweed.
That's kind of cheating, by the way. If you're self-driving on the playa and like there's right. nothing you could possibly hit, I'm not super impressed. But okay, continue.
We did hit something. We hit a tumbleweed that was about a 6-foot-high tumbleweed. It was a sizable tumbleweed.
Huh.
And I said, why didn't the car stop? And then they said, first of all, the machine learning is trained to recognize a Coke can versus a camera. You train it. You put 70,000 images of Coke can, 70,000 images of camera, and then all of a sudden the system learns.
Yeah.
It can be taught how to recognize this too. And so the optical sensors, he said, didn't recognize that was anything that was going to hurt the car.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the radar sensor knows it didn't have any mass to it. So it knew it wasn't a child or a dog or a
car. So it's a carry-on
plastic bag.
Or it was just a stupid thing that you could go through. And it had no mass to it. And this was German engineers in the back seat telling me this, right? So I'm pretty convinced we're going to figure out how to train these systems to recognize a whole lot of things and not get into accidents. People in the chat room are having fun about, oh, what if a car decided to go off-road and kill 20 kids instead of killing one in a crosswalk or
something. All those kind of like ethical, moral things are kind of silly, right, Brian?
Yeah.
Two bicycle riders, one has a helmet. So I'll only injure that one. The other one I would kill. Therefore, I hit the person who's doing the right thing by wearing a helmet. Right? Yeah. That's the ultimate.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Or what I like is we have two people who are 70 years old, and then over here we have two 70-year-olds and one child. Who do you kill? Or you have two people here who are half the age or whatever. It's like
the Mercedes engineers say, if we even get close to that kind of decision, our systems have failed. In other words, the fact that you're even considering such a question
that means those are the only two options.
Our systems have failed. Our system didn't see the bicycle rider. It didn't see the people. Didn't see the stop sign. Didn't see all the rules. And
it's a false choice for sure.
Yeah,
it, like these systems are so much better than to ever get to that choice.
Now,
they're better than us.
The Tesla is an interesting. The guy who died is an interesting example of artificial intelligence. Because you had to train it on what a white truck over the freeway might look like.
Right.
And how that's different from a bridge. Now, consider if your car went into emergency stop every time it saw a bridge.
Or an overpass.
An overpass.
It would cause 100 accidents.
It would cause many more deaths right. than if it just continued.
And
it just wasn't trained to see that. And you know Elon and his team has been retraining their systems. And in fact, he said
that
the new autopilot has radar and optical that they turn on, and they changed the algorithms to see that thing in
the future.
Right.
They said it could see through fog now. So theoretically, if a UFO landed on the highway, I think it was the analogy, in the fog, it would still stop, which is great. But this person explicitly disregarded all the alarms. And I got to tell you, now with the latest updates, the software – is sending off so many goddamn alarms. I feel like turning off self-driving. We're just not using it, rather.
You swore it again.
What did I say?
Goddamn.
I don't think they F-bomb. I think goddamn. Gosh darn it. Anyway,
this whole section is going to get cut out of the recording.
I am now, because I have my hands on the steering wheel, and it's so sensitized now that a lot of times I put your hand on the steering wheel. I'm like, I kind of have my hand on the steering wheel, but okay, I'll make sure I'm moving it a little bit. It's almost like I think what they should have done with this thing is you should have to sign like three times on the dashboard like a DocuSign that – or like just the only people allowed to turn it on are part of a beta group or something, because the people who are using it without actually keeping their eyes on the road, I mean, please, people, if you happen to be lucky enough to be able to afford a Tesla and you have self-driving – use it properly. The manual is – it tells you 1,000 times a ride. Keep your hands and your wits about you. It's not level 4.
Yeah.
It's level 2.
Yeah.
These people are insane. It's infuriating to me because we all need to see this technology advance.
Yeah.
And I actually think that in China or some other countries, you're going to have this backlash if another person
– European countries.
Probably socialist countries like Europe. That's a joke.
In China, I disagree with you. The people who are building self-driving technologies there say it'll be adopted way faster over there.
Listen,
and because of the chaos on the street, it has to learn way faster than our technology.
I know, but if somebody does what this person did, where they just abdicate control,
that's human beings.
We have to. No, I know.
We take
risks also
all
human
the time.
Beings. Human beings will overreact and then say we have to get rid of it. And the problem is, if it's already 50% or 100% better. We need to keep investing. We need to keep letting people use this technology.
So I don't think that's the problem. That's the biggest barrier to the adoption of self-driving cars. The biggest adoption is the loss of jobs. You heard German economic minister being like, "We're not going to let them on the road." That's like taking away taxi jobs and Uber jobs and other jobs.
Yeah,
and
I'm sorry. What continent?
Except.
Was that on?
Except we know these technologies already save lives. Mercedes told me they sell 30%.
He's talking about jobs.
No, I agree.
I know,
but that doesn't matter.
But here's
to politics.
The lawsuit. No,
does not apply to politics.
It does, because if my kid gets killed in a car wreck and the government kept a self-driving car from my local community, I'm going to sue as well.
So Robert, have you looked at the election? Logic is gone.
I know. But
here we go. I'm just going to let the people
there
know.
Are gonna
know.
Be
I've been trying to keep this away from the election. But you know what? Technology does mitigate a lot of our lives.
Yeah.
And, we are making – it's interesting when you just think about this one discussion. It's going to come down to, do we want to save lives or jobs?
Yeah.
And I think that's really profound. It's something we have to think about as a society. If we keep 1 million jobs –
And humans always vote for jobs.
And we kill a million people. That's a bad decision.
Humans always vote against jobs. We got cars. We knew they were going to kill millions of jobs and horseshoes and other things.
And
for
think
horses.
About all the horses that they put down after the cars came out. They just killed
all
those
horses.
We're
going to the future. You can
did they actually? What did they do with all the horses after they got rid of the cars? It must have been a slow process.
It's just the breeding program slowly died. There was a video I watched on this, actually.
There must have been, like, because they must have had a ramp
horse breeding video.
Yeah.
They must have had.
They
like
do
a large
not have these discussions
factories.
In India because they need self-driving technologies for a whole lot of reasons. They don't have these conversations in China.
Do I? By the way, do I have another commercial break? Or we're
no,
this, okay, we're all done on the commercial breaks. Let me keep the show moving here.
Yeah.
This is my favorite of all the robotic things. After Cafe X, which I'm an investor in, this is my favorite. This Starship robot, which you can see on my screen, is a little R2-D2. It's about knee high, and you could put a couple of boxes, maybe two or three bags of groceries in it. It looks like to me, it looks like a little Tonka truck, if anybody knows that reference. And it'll drive at a couple miles per hour to your house and deliver something to you. I think that these little robots are going to be huge. I think that this is so much better than drones because. This can't fall out of the sky. This is going to use much less batteries. It's not going to cause noise pollution. And if somebody wants to steal this, like I guess that's the one thing that you could, like somebody could pick it up or flip it over. It's going to have a camera on it, and you could potentially get arrested for some felonious activity. Like, I don't know if people know this, but like most mailboxes are not bolted to the ground. You just lift them up off and put them into the back of a truck, but you can also go to jail for it. I love this idea of little R2-D2s running around delivering your sunglasses as opposed to your spectacles from Snapchat. This will be the delivery mechanism, obviously. Rather than huge UPS trucks, rather than all that gas, these things could be out there just zipping along streets in the burbs. This could work in cities. This thing could walk 10 miles in the burbs to drop something off. It doesn't matter. It's such low energy consumption. And if there's sidewalks, it just works. Brian Alvey, what do you think?
Wow. So that'd be a nice thing to have. They look cute. I think they're going to be, beat up
super
by people.
Super cute.
Right? So yes and no. If I was in New York right now, that actually looks like a pressure cooker on wheels. I would run away from that. Seriously.
It does look like it could be a bomb.
Right? Yeah. Police driving something in to go. It's
a fair point.
It's really screwy looking. So
this is not
a
bomb.
I'd make it a lot less.
Well, I mean, listen, we kid sometimes here about, the technology and some of the stuff, the darker uses of it. But there is an actual legitimate issue right now around drones.
Right.
Where they believe ISIS is training, they're training ISIS members to use drones, I read this, to deliver bombs and payload. Mm-hmm. You could conceivably do a lot of damage by just dropping a drone into the middle of any sports activity or whatever.
Sure. Any, like with a vehicle or with that.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be as terrorizing. When you put new technology on a bomb, it just makes it all the more terrorizing. No, but it's true.
Yeah, I agree.
People are God.
It's an issue. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, hopefully.
Also, accessibility. Like, think about this. If the mayor, I don't mean to put anything in people's heads here, but if the mayor of some city is giving a talk and he's got a bunch of security around them, a drone can just drop out of the sky at a very quick pace with a bomb on it and assassinate anybody it wants.
When I'm at the White House, they do not let me do live video broadcasting. All of the video you see of the president in the White House has been tape delayed by 5 or 10 minutes for exactly that reason.
They don't want exact time.
They don't want location. Somebody watching a live broadcast somewhere else and being able to target the president by flying a drone. And this was the Bush presidency when I was there. And and they have all sorts of jamming equipment around the president. That's what, when you see the motorcade going, you see a camera, a car with dozens of antennas, that's to jam all of the electronics that would possibly throw off a bomb or signal to a bomb near the president. And I visited the bomb unit at Nellis Air Force Base, and they said, we already can block cell phones. We know how to do that really well. And that forced the terrorists to go to lower technology. They have now click plates when you roll over them that count how many wheels have gone over the plate and then blow up something inside the train of the convoy.
Yeah.
Going, because you don't want to hit the first truck because that's a bomb truck that was designed to take a blast. It actually has a curved bottom shell, so a bomb blast doesn't kill them. And it's amazing. It's interesting to talk to these people about terrorism and bombs. And I don't want to tell everything on air, but
RF2022 says
they got a lot of ways to block your drone.
Idiocracy, yes.
You're not going to fly a DJI drone over the president.
Well, actually, right. good Sad makes a good point. He says, "Is if Bruce Dern is flying a blimp nearby, look out." Which is what is that? Black Sunday, the name of that film, the famous Frankenheimer film. I shouldn't say it's famous; it's obscure. Actually, it's famous to me. All right, listen, this has been an amazing program. Thank you to Leo for allowing us to host here and to take over the network. We'll be in your office for the next 2 or 3 hours with all the studio audience drinking and just trashing the place. It's going to be a great party. If anybody can hear my voice right now.
Don't tempt them.
We're having a huge party right now.
Gary Vaynerchuk and I did this in Sonoma at a winery, and within a few hours, we had a lot of people.
All right, we're all out of here. All right. Let me say thank you first to Ben Parr, benparr.com, Ben Parr on Twitter, I believe, at Ben Parr, 2 R's in Parr. Because he's so rad. Ben Parr, you have a plug? Any plugs? Get some plugs in here.
So
very important to get plugs in.
Two plugs. Plug, the paperback of my book, Captivology, comes out.
Amazing book.
October 18th.
Yeah. If you want to grow your startup,
get
it.
Pre-order now on Amazon or anything else, or get the audiobook.
Okay.
And more announcements coming in about a month or so.
Okay.
So follow
I'm assuming
my
you're going to announce your Apple gig running... the flying
cars.
No,
I already did that 2 months ago. I'm already working for Apple.
I wasn't sure. All right, Brian Alvey, you're up next for the plugs. BrianAlvey.com and, of course, at Brian Alvey on the Twitter. Brian Alvey working on Clipisode.
Yeah, an app called Clipisode. So C-L-I-P-I-S-O-D-E, Clipisode. Clipisode.co. Check it out. Sign up for the beta.
And the thing that would transform your startup at this point, aside from a Series A investment, if you could get some high-profile bloggers or videographers or vloggers, you know, people with 10,000 or more followers to use the product in beta, that would help.
Exactly. If there was anybody at this table who wanted to – no. So it's about that. It's for influencers or people who want to be influencers. Yeah. So.
Explain what the product is, just so we get a little quick.
Yes, super quick. It's an app, an iPhone app, an Android app now, actually, that lets you become the host of your own daily 5-minute video talk show. So a social mobile video app. You would love this thing. You ask a question to all your fans. They all come back with responses. You can ask contacts as well. So if you're talking about, like, politics, and, you know, Jason loves to talk politics all through a tech show, you invite him. He comes on. You get video replies. You put them all together. It makes a little square video that you share out.
So, got it.
Pretty cool. And your spare time, so it's not live.
Got it.
That's the deal.
So Robert Scobel is here. Thank you for coming, Robert. Scobelizer on the Twitter, Scobelizer. But you really, I have to say, you have mastered Facebook. It's amazing. Yeah. It's inspired me to start playing with Facebook a little bit more. You know what I did on Facebook because of you? I went through the social graph and I started – because I made a huge – tactical error at the beginning of Facebook. Remember in the early days, you just accepted everybody.
Yep. I've done it, right?
Yeah, we've all made this huge mistake. And now what I'm doing is I'm actually going in and saying acquaintance, close friend, acquaintance, close friend, and also muting some people on the main feed, and my feed's getting better and better.
The way I deal with it now.
The amount of comments. How many comments do you get on the average post? Hundreds?
Sometimes. I don't know what the average is, but dozens.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And I don't even care about the numbers. I care about who's coming. It's the who's who of the tech industry, right?
Yeah.
You got Gary Shapiro commenting, who runs CES. You got all sorts of innovators and people who are going to tell me that
it has
I'm
a
full
major impact on your speaking gigs, your business. Yeah. Is this like this
and
Facebook
now I'm in
thing.
The center of the VR and AR world at Upload VR, which is a co-working space in San Francisco, plus a media company that covers this space. So and we're doing a podcast
you and I are
together.
Doing this podcast so inside VR and AR.
I'm seeing the VR AR world, and which is going to be really important in a couple of years.
Yeah. It really is interesting how quickly we're starting to see a large number of companies invest in the space. I always think that that's the tell.
Yeah.
If you have one or two people investing in it, it's kind of like, okay, some people are playing. But when you see every major tech company investing heavily, we're going to see something big out of Google next week, I think.
Yeah. Well, they're going to bring out mobile-based VR, which I think is the only way.
They're going to launch another Google Glass or another hardware item. What are they going to launch?
Not yet. Not yet, because it's not quite ready, although Snapchat probably is being watched very carefully at these companies.
That's scary for people.
It's scary for competitors.
That's what I'm saying.
Now they're Snap. It's even like that's part of the big thing too. They're
what do you mean?
Have you seen their what their Twitter? It's now Snap.
They renamed.
And
did they get snap.com?
Yeah. Yeah. So it is.
And if you go to their Twitter, it just says Snap. Snap.com. A camera company.
Correct.
Yeah. They're doing. They are.
So
they
have two things. They have an
plan.
App and yeah. a spectacles.
Snap is a camera company. We believe that reinventing the camera represents our greatest opportunity to improve the way people live and communicate. Our products empower people to express themselves live in the moment. Learn about the world and have fun together.
So remember for like a week, this was called Snapisode, not Clipisode?
Yeah.
And my lawyer said, I know you're not doing the same thing they're doing.
Yeah.
But they heavily sue people who use Snap in their names.
Ah.
6 months later, they're named Snap. No longer
wow.
even named Snapchat.
Yeah. And they got Snap.com. That does show some impression. It's,
There's a revolution coming to all sorts of things. Driving, photography, audio. And the next showers. Sure. Come on in and join
For
me.
Sure. Virtual showers. Virtually. And that's actually the big announcement. I hate to steal Larry and Sergey's thunder, but next week at the Google event, Robert was going to be releasing Shower with Robert exclusively on Google VR.
It's a Steam game. Yeah.
It's incredible. You two can shower with Scoble, but it's pixelated, so it's fine. If you look down, it automatically pixelates. Huh. Look up, you're fine.
If you pay,
look down, it pixelates.
There's a limit.
If you pay, you can see it all.
Really? Wow.
Yeah,
all right. I think we have a title. The episode, If You Pay, You Can See It All, episode 581. Thanks to Leo for letting me host. It's obviously an honor and privilege, and although this is the last time, I am still very grateful. We'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.
This is amazing. Stop that.